participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of suspenders tonight.
It is black.
I know it. That's quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces radio over in Iraq?
Good question. That's a good question. Nick, Christopher, can they get the money some way to send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Show up.
That was very tight, and I'm Don, that's Mike, and that's Buzz, and Phil Hartman's dead.
Yes. Phil Hartman, apparently the victim of a murder and then a suicide by his wife.
Wow. Wow.
Pretty incredible show business news to start the day with.
Funny guy.
Yes, yeah. Very. Where are all our funny men going? They're just dropping like flies.
He was the best.
But Phil Hartman... No, he wasn't the best.
I loved him.
There's so many more better than Phil Hartman.
Ooh.
Well, the copier guy.
Yeah, there you go. Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider.
He lives.
Well, no, come on. Of course, there's a million funnier guys around than Phil Hartman, but he was a funny guy.
Yeah. He was up there. He was way up there.
He'd be in your top 20, right?
I think he'd be a solid member of the top 20.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you do begin to realize all the things. You know, he did so many of those voices on The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, meet Chris Farley now, and just a few years ago, John Candy. It's just, come on, where are all the funny men going? I mean,
but he wasn't, like, all fat and bloated, though.
No, he wasn't. No.
He's the first slim, good-looking guy.
Makes it all the more tragic.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess those other guys kind of killed themselves.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, he's the first one to have his wife do that. Man, that is that is spooky.
And of all the guys, if you had told me there was going to be a comedian, he'd be the last guy because he had that image. That kind of like, even the characters that he played on news radio, it was something where you didn't expect that he would be involved in anything sordid at all.
Here's where some of the stuff's going to come out now. When I was watching CNN today, and thanks, Mike, for the call.
Right.
Thank you. Beautiful call. Mike O'Mara, the one to break the news to me.
Ah.
So I could instantly start monitoring CNN.
I knew you would want to know that news as soon as I heard it, and so I sprung to the phone and made one of my biannual phone calls to your home.
Once again, though, you and I terribly behind, because as soon as I hung up the phone with you, I called to the station to talk to Charlie Broyhill,
because
I wanted to have the same... You know, people like... announcing stuff, whether it be good or whether it be bad, when you hear some breaking news...
We like to be the messenger.
Yeah. Right.
That's what journalists love to do.
Say, hey, Charlie Broyhill. He says, I know. You know, just eating his macaroni or whatever he was having. I know. Buzz told us.
Can I share with you, in my opinion, what is the saddest development of this story so far?
Yeah. And then I had to lecture Charles Broyhill about how the triangle works here at the station. I said... Let me just tell you, Phil Hartman dies, you get the call, your next call is to me. So that when Mike O'Mara calls me, I say, hey, buddy, I already know. Right? I like being as informed as the next guy. And I guess Broyhill had been sitting on that for something like 10 or 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Buzz had given him an early heads up on that today from the Buzz Burbank newsroom.
Well, I like to think that, you know, because I called you first, technically, I was the first one on the show to know.
Yep. Yeah, you get our news tip hotline prize this week, Mike. We have $5 for you.
You're
our news watcher of the week.
But let me share with you seriously this sad development that, and this, I don't know if Phil Hartman was sad for this, but I'll tell you, I was sad for it. the celebrity who was commenting on the death, the one, and I'm sure you saw this, the live celebrity who they had on the phone, the
no,
first one.
No, I didn't see that. Who was it? Who was it?
All right, let's play a game.
Who was it?
Say you passed away. And you wanted one, and there was one celebrity who could, talk about your life and everything. Who would be the last guy?
Carrot Top.
That you want? Okay, not Carrot Top, but one of the last.
He's a lower echelon.
He's a movie actor.
Is it Pauly Shore?
It's not Pauly Shore.
I only say that because that reminds me when I was watching the story.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm surprised Phil Hartman was living in Encino.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Encino Man made me think of Pauly Shore. I would be sure that he would be. Perhaps a Beverly Hills.
This guy
certainly somewhere near the near Santa Monica. I mean, somewhere by the beaches, right? Encino.
This guy that was
Tarzana would be a better address than Encino. Okay, let me tell you who the guy was.
For a star of Phil Hartman's stature.
Hello.
All right, who is the guy?
Steve Guttenberg.
Ah! Oh, yeah. You know, that's worse than Carrot Top.
Steve Guttenberg.
Well, how the hell is Steve Guttenberg connected?
They were in
Phil Hartman,
some comedy troupe early on. They were together and they worked together.
They started in the Groundlings together with Pee Wee Herman. Oh. As a matter of fact, the three of them started out about the same time.
I hear it in the background, he was really, this is such a shock, and I'm like, well, who could be the celebrity? So I go dashing into the bedroom where the TV's on, and then I see the square box with Guttenberg.
Steve Guttenberg. Well,
God, it's Guttenberg, the type of guy who would, immediately call CNN to go on TV.
He smells exposure.
Sure.
Hello, this is Steve Guttenberg, star of Casper, the Friendly Ghost, and later the direct-to-video Casper, the Friendly Ghost sequel.
Sure.
I know Phil Hartman. Yes, I'll hold.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Put me through to Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs with his alien hairdo.
Oh, Guttenberg.
Wow.
Mm.
Buzz, what facts do you know about this story?
About 6 o'clock this morning, neighbors, I guess, called police in this neighborhood that's been described as kind of an Ozzie and Harriet-type neighborhood in Encino. And they'd heard gunshots. The police came. They found that Phil Hartman had been dead for some time. They found the Hartman's kids inside the house, a 6-year-old girl, 9-year-old boy. First thing they did was get the kids out of the house. As they were taking the kids out of the house, Mrs. Hartman, Bryn, shot herself to death. And apparently, the best guess is that she's the one who also shot Phil Hartman.
Jesus Christ.
Neighbors and friends say that, although...
When I was watching CNN, they had a neighbor on who said, I'd heard the Hartmans were going through some troubles.
Yes, yeah. Apparently, according
to the first sign.
Things had been building up a little bit recently, but we don't know what or why.
Wow. Yeah. You know, in this case...
That's Oogie, man.
Well, friends will surface, I'm sure, but for a while, you're not going to probably know anything, because, the witnesses are kind of gone.
I wonder if it had anything to do with that girl who's on news radio. One who was supposedly the girlfriend of the guy from Kids in the Home.
Yeah.
I just wonder.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, I think that's probably most likely the scenario, right? I mean, wouldn't you think?
It could be anything.
Yeah, right. But I'm sure it wasn't that he found out that she was screwing around with someone and then she said, oh... Right, you got me. Boom.
This was Phil Hartman's second marriage, his second wife, if that means anything.
So out of left field. I mean, really shocking. And, as you mentioned before, lots of guys that are funnier, but I think actually probably the top 20. And
pretty solid, though.
Yeah, there aren't that many funny guys, in movies and TV. And that's pretty incredible, especially with that image that, hello, this is my image. I'm a solid citizen.
Uh-huh. He's a good cynical guy, man.
Yeah.
A lot of times when he would try to do something straight.
Right.
Like, remember, I told you at the Super Bowl, he was the guy that they had up on the jumbotrons at the Super Bowl who was saying, welcome to Super Bowl 32. And everybody was looking at this thinking that, they were being goofed on.
Sure.
Because it was Phil Hartman unable to deliver something straight.
Yeah. Man.
It's true.
And nothing late of this story? I mean, there's nothing that has come across the wire about what's going on?
This is all the information the Los Angeles police have released so far. There's evidence that the police know more, but just aren't prepared to talk about it, at least until they get a chance to talk to the Hartman's other relatives.
Where was OJ during all of this?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Was he on a golf course, or was he floating around the neighborhood?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Police have confirmed when they got here that Phil Hartman was found dead in a bedroom, and apparently his wife, Bryn, was also found in that same bedroom. He was dead of a gunshot wound. She was dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Once someone reaches the age of 50, there's a tendency for them not to really keep on.
What is this?
Pushing, you know.
Somebody's put together like a
little montage.
Hello.
Hello.
Who is this?
Phil Hartman.
Come on, who is this?
It's Mike, the guy that has the.
The guy with our audio
call. I'm
audio quiz guy.
I got you. The sampler guy.
Exactly.
Oh, you know, hey, that's good.
Thank you.
You're very timely.
I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Peace. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. See you tomorrow. What do you mean you see us tomorrow? Oh, you'll call us tomorrow.
With the name of the TV icon.
Oh, okay, name the TV icon. All right, that's your Friday bit. See you later.
Do you guys have any requests?
No, I like that game fine.
Keep us surprised. That's when it works best.
Right on.
All right, bye-bye.
Buen Arbusto.
And maybe a little tribute to the late Phil Hartman.
It's very nice.
Bye-bye.
No problem.
Very right. Clever, boys.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
See, anybody with a keyboard, man.
Yeah.
Yep. You can do your own wacky bits.
Yeah, we all feel the same way you do, ladies and gentlemen, the listening audience. Just a little odd about that one.
Mm-hmm. That would have been good, like, with the disco version of Celine Dion behind him. Yeah. That's what it needed. It needed some of that pounding dance beat behind it.
Give it a documentary flavor.
Or the disco version of Leanne Rimes.
Mm.
You know, and then you put news radio star, news radio. I mean, you know, you loop it over.
Sure. Ba-doom, 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 you know, he's ba-doom, listening ba-doom. To you right now. He's toiling away at it right now.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
How you doing, Gus?
Great.
I'd like to be the first to guess that Bob Hope to close the death threat.
And no, he won't, and I'll tell you why. Because Phil Hartman, yeah, this is a little creepy too, is kind of, you could connect him to Sinatra.
Yeah. Sure.
Because he did an impression. Now, albeit not the best impression.
Right.
But, right, he was the guy on Saturday Night Live who would always be Frank Sinatra.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Right, so it would have to be someone else who maybe had some kind of a tie to Frank Sinatra in some way.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody checked in with Joe Piscopo yet?
That's Sinatra finally getting back the way he could from up above.
You know, hey, that would be interesting.
Yeah. That would be some real justice if it was Joe Piscopo, right?
Yeah.
How about that? How many of you out there would doubt that there is a God?
Yeah.
If Joe Piscopo was the next?
Hey, you know, and that, this man brings up a good point about Frank, perhaps. You know, now that he's in the hereafter, reaching down there and go, okay, I'm going to get all those guys that did the impressions of me.
Yeah, but do you think that Phil Hartman would be the first? I mean, that's got to be a line hundreds of guys long.
Sure. But right? I'll tell you, if it's Phil Hartman first, Joe Piscopo better be looking over his shoulder.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike, the F Jimmy guy.
Hey, F Jimmy guy.
I need to talk to you because I made 5 calls, and I got through, and I said F words, and I said C words, and stuff much worse.
The disc jockey in Portland, Oregon, that was trying to screw with us a little bit yesterday for reasons that, you know, we still don't know.
We'll never understand that, no.
But I need to talk to you up there for another way because those show up on my mom's long-distance phone bill.
Pardon me, F. Jimmy guy?
Those show up on my mom's long-distance phone bill. It's not like when I prank call or call you guys when it's 1-800. I'm spending a lot of money.
Don't you have, like, a paper route or something?
What?
we're not going to bankroll your prank call, son.
We can't do that. You're on your own in that department.
Oh, God.
Well, you know, hold on.
Three words, world's finest chocolate.
Maybe we'll get you a phone card or something.
Oh, that would be great.
I don't know. Well, did you have any success with them?
What? 5 times. I mean, a lot of times it was just click the first few times. It was kiss my ass. And I mean, I imagine it'll be a lot more fun in a few days when, you know, the rat VC starts showing up.
Oh, my.
Oh,
well, who knows what this troubled young lad is speaking of. I don't know. Maybe speaking again, I believe, what Buzz refers to as gang code.
Gang code. That's
no,
right.
Rat poop.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
right.
Thanks so much.
All right, hold on there, F. Jimmy guy. He's one of our troubled listeners who's seen the straight and narrow.
Sure. We welcome into our boys club.
Hello, Don of Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, buddy.
I think the big thing we're missing here is the death of Troy McClure.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. That was another one of the great voices from The Simpsons.
Mm. Troy McClure.
Oh, here he is.
Welcome to the Knowledgeum. I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such automated information kiosks as Welcome to Springfield Airport. And where's Nordstrom?
I smell a museum.
Yeah, good things don't end with EM. And with mania or teria.
Yeah, that's too bad. Phil Hartman was a funny guy, right?
That's a shame.
I learned something interesting today about how they do the voiceovers for The Simpsons, and this sort of is a credit to Phil Hartman's contribution to the show, is they do the show like a play. They read it straight through. So he couldn't do all his Troy McClure parts and then go back and do his other voices. he had to change character as the show went on, and sometimes even talking to himself as the show progressed.
Damn, you can't replace a guy like that on The Simpsons. You really cannot.
Mm. How come like this doesn't happen to somebody like John Lovitz? You know what I mean? Someone who the world, listen, the world would keep turning without John Lovitz, right?
I could think of other people that I'd rather see go before John Lovitz.
Before John Lovitz?
Yes, well before John Lovitz.
Well, let me see.
John Lovitz has for whatever reason, has the ability to make me laugh even when I see him.
Have you ever seen him, like, on a talk show? Where you see the real John Lovitz?
He's got Al Franken disease, I'm aware of that.
Oh, Al Franken. He would be way up there. Yeah, that's right. Al Franken, everybody. Franken on the Zoo. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Laugh even when I see him. Have you ever seen him, like, on a talk show? Where you see the real John Lovitz? He's got Al Franken disease.
Oh, is that just playing the radio to us? Hello?
Don
and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Malding.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Mobile, I called you the other day about the show, but...
Right.
Last night, did you watch the Bulls game?
Oh, of course. Listen, I've already warned Mike that I am going to be coming as close as humanly possible to giving a monica today on the show to Michael Jordan, because I'm really ready just to totally just, you know, bend over for Michael Jordan.
Wow.
He is the best. That guy never disappoints. Never. It's in the clutch. The guy comes through. He kicks some ass. He's the best. He is the best. Toss my salad, Michael Jordan.
Speaking of...
I love it when you get controversial.
Speaking of giving him a monica, did you hear what Bob Costas said at the end of the first quarter?
Oh, he said this a lot about Jordan being able to get off.
Yeah, I got the tape right here. I'm going to play it for you.
Oh, okay, great.
Got off. What did he add off?
He said that about a million times. Jordan got off quickly and often.
Oh, that was impressive.
He got off quickly and often. All right, goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
So that game that you were, as you said, queer for yesterday, was everything you expected it to be.
Yeah.
That's what I thought when I saw the score.
I would have been happy either way. If the Pacers had won, then it would be a big chance for Michael Jordan to come back on Friday night. But
listen,
here's why he's the best. He doesn't disappoint. All those other guys, every other guy in the NBA is a pussy compared to Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to play. He kicks ass. He puts his head down. He gives guys dirty looks. He points his finger at guys. But, I mean, he's not a showboat. He's the best. The guy just, he inspires me. He kicks so much ass. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to sound like one of those sports idiots, but, like, listen. Syrup or jelly, Michael?
You ready?
Toss my salad.
You're going to toss his salad?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I was jacked up for that game last night, screaming my head off. Both my wife and my son kept going, what? What is wrong? I said, nothing's wrong. MJ! MJ! I'm queer for him. Really?
Yeah.
Great game last night.
You
didn't even tune it in, did you?
No.
You missed it?
No.
Oh, you missed it.
No, I was toying with the idea and then got watching something. I think I was watching the Edward R. Murrow story on the True Movie Channel.
And you know what was even better? I know you can get into this, even if you're not into a sport. When there's a team, one team that's doing real good, like the Bulls were,
right?
And conversely, Indiana, as great as the Bulls are doing, Indiana did worse and worse. At one point, they went almost 20 minutes without making a basket.
I did tune in the first quarter when they were up something like 17 points in the first minute.
At one point, they missed like 15 shots in a row, where every time these doofuses, and they got the one guy, Smiths, listen, it's a mistake for a white guy to shave his head. It's a mistake. All the brothers can do it, and they look cool. But I'm telling you, a white guy with a shaved head.
Look at my head.
And they got this guy, Chris Mullen, another guy, and he's got the back of his head.
Didn't he have a crew cut?
Not anymore. He shaved his head.
Shaved his head. Bro.
They all did. All the players, some kind of stupid unity.
Right.
Chris Mullen. Yeah, working good for him, right?
Yeah.
Nice haircuts. Chris Mullen, he's the back of his head looks like there's some kind of a huge implant. I mean, he's got like, have you ever seen the chart where they have man evolving from monkey to man?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, if you go about three quarters of the way through,
he's there.
With the development of the guy's head, it's this guy, Chris Mullin.
Wow.
So the beginning of the game, I'm just staring at these guys.
Right.
Right? Staring at their big white heads. They look like Ban roll-on deodorant, the big goofy white guys do with their shaved heads.
Right.
And this guy, Chris Mullin, the guy with the weird like Ferengi head in the back, he goes down and blood gushes out, and he has to go get a couple of stitches.
What, did somebody knock into him or something?
Yeah, fell down. He fell down. And he comes back in the game, and he's got this big-ass Band-Aid on the top of his head. And if possible, you know, it's almost like they had a contest to say, all right, you look ridiculous right now. What could we do to possibly make you look a little stupider? Wait a minute, hold on. How about a nice 3-inch gauge on the side of your head? We'll give you some Frankenstein...
Nice gauge!
We'll give you some Frankenstein stitches, and then we'll throw a big Band-Aid on top of it.
So you think they were totally intimidated and psyched out last night?
It was great. It's like watching a bully beat up a guy. You know, it's good TV.
Yeah. Yep.
Fantastic. I realize there's no NHL action, Mike, but...
No, it's
for
not.
Those of us...
Yeah, I know. But people,
it works.
People get into it. A lot of people get into it, and it's cool. I mean, a lot of Bulls fans... A lot of people feel the same way, like, against the Bulls because they're such a dynasty. Like, people will often root against a dynasty. I heard a lot of people on the train the other night that were saying, hey, Bulls lost, and everybody went, yay!
Right. Well, you know, people like to get down on you and me a lot.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Same thing, man. Mm-hmm. Same thing. People take shots at you when you're number one. As a matter of fact, Michael Jordan's good. I'd just like to point out in radio, we are better at radio than Michael Jordan is at basketball. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking like a kid in the candy store.
He started it.
I'm just telling you, we're the greatest. Okay? And we come out and we prove it every single day.
Every day. Every day. Our win streak.
Just like Michael Jordan.
Totally undefeated. But hey, even Michael Jordan's had a few losses in his day. There have been a few of those games where he hasn't scored over 20 points. Not.
You and I, even with the car wreck of a show that we had 2 days ago?
That was three-pointers all the way around.
That was still a perfect show.
I mean, incredible. I mean, it was just incredible. We had lots of rebounds.
It's our cross to bear. It is our cross to bear. We cannot come to this job not prepared to play.
Yeah.
Really.
It's true.
I love being here. This is the highlight of my day. It's only too bad that Michael Jordan can't apply himself the way that I can and the way you can.
Nose to the grindstone.
That's right.
He could learn from you.
This has gone now from being a tribute to Michael Jordan to a lecture for Michael Jordan.
A lecture for Michael Jordan from Don Geronimo to try harder.
Try a little harder, Michael.
Yeah.
Come to play. Okay? Don't cry about the referees.
I think a lot of people were watching that game. The world was watching that game because of MJ.
Let's see Michael Jordan take some phone call from some stupid disc jockey in Portland, Oregon, who doesn't even know who he is. Let's see what Michael Jordan does in that situation.
He might get a little flustered.
Yeah.
You and I, though?
Could lose his composure, huh?
Yeah, he could lose his composure.
You're right, Mike. We could beat the Bulls 2-on-5.
You think so?
Wow. Sure.
Even with me, with no basketball skill at all. You give me a hockey stick, I could do it.
Let's say, but it would have to be like a game of radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'd kill them in a game of radio.
Patter. We'd have a patter contest.
Platter chatter.
Absolutely.
We'd kill them in a contest just of talking.
It would be talking, creating subject matter, and comedy timing.
And you got to keep people listening.
Right.
Oh, we'd kick their ass. We could play the whole thing. We could play 12-on-2.
Absolutely.
And that dorky coach of theirs could come play, too.
Oh, that guy that looks like he's ready for the coffin already. What is wrong with him, anyway? I mean, he looks near death. You take that beard off, and I think you've got, hello, little girl.
Well, first off, Phil Jackson of the Bulls.
Yes.
He's got, like... weird shoulders and all the jackets.
Very weird shoulders.
When he wears a jacket, he looks like, you know, Dr. Evil and Mike Myers.
Hello, I'm Dr. Evil.
You know, that movie is on cable so much.
Yes.
I keep watching bits and pieces of it.
And that's the best way to watch that movie.
And I'm almost starting to like Dr. Evil just a little bit.
All right. Well, I know that there's one person in here that's very happy about that. $1 million. I want $1 million. There you go, Dr. Evil.
That's what Phil Jackson looks like. He has these big, huge shoulders, and he wears, like, mortician's clothes out there.
Can't look any worse than Larry King's shoulders, though. And who, you know, I watched a little of Larry King last night, and who told Larry King to wear the braces ever? Because last night he was more hunched over than he normally is, and you can see the top of his shoulder. There's a line that goes down, and I swear to God, it looks like a roller coaster down where the shoulder muscles should be.
Do you think he has, if he takes his shirt off, do you think they're, like, big indentations?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's disgusting. Yeah. He should not wear that. Because it accentuates this. And he's sitting there. He's talking to that guy from NBC, that lawyer, that Jack Ford Weekend Today Show guy.
That guy is such a load.
Oh, he's a total load. And Larry, of course, is kissing his butt and going, so, what do you do when you analyze Ken Starr? And he's sitting there wearing a yellow shirt. And it really, he looks like he's got two humps where his shoulders should be.
I don't need Viagra. Sean, would you like a nice mosquito for dinner?
Yeah.
Here are the lily pads.
I'll catch it for you. There we are, Sean. Fresh flies.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yes.
Hello. Hey, hi.
Hey, do you remember the ending for A Third Rock from the Sun this season?
No, sir.
Phil Hartman kidnapped Harry on there, was driving down the road with him, and Harry went into his the Big Head report right in the middle of the scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's how the show ended, with Harry being kidnapped by Phil Hartman's character.
Yeah, that, you know, that NBC cross-promotion.
Mm.
Well, that's good for Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, but...
That's good. That'll help them get some better ratings, I bet. People will be more interested.
That story.
What?
How are they going to end that story?
Well, I guess we're going to drink a six-pack and write something down on the paper.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, right. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
People's concerns.
Hello. Oh, you're one to talk. You and me, too. You're the town crier, though. Calling me up today with, like, a great stock tip. Right? Phone rings. It's like, uh-oh. Town crier's on the line.
Okay. You don't have to worry about me doing that again.
Oh, you're cruel.
I'll never do that again.
You're cruel.
I'll never be.
Don't cut me off.
I will just, when I've got great information that I know you would love, I will simply go elsewhere, Dave. There you go. I don't like being called the town crier. The town crier has tremendous negative implications, like tattletale, rat paint, and so sundry items like that. So I don't care for being called the town crier.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello. Not a mic. Hello. Hello.
Hi. Quick question or a quick statement. The classic Phil Hartman Simpsons moment. Him last night on the local channel doing the musical Planet of the Apes. Fabulous.
I never liked the musicals on The Simpsons.
I didn't either.
I never liked that. So don't waste my time with that. Make Homer run into walls.
Mm-hmm.
I love the one that was on a couple of weeks ago where he got his head stuck in the middle of a bridge.
No.
The bridge was opening and closing, and the bridge was closing, and it closed right on his head, and then like a million cars drove over his head, and he had a big skid mark on his forehead.
Something you can only do in cartoon reality, and that's what you enjoy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey, Buzz. Hey, I was wondering, do you suppose there's room up Michael Jordan's ass for Ahmad Rashad, Isaiah Thomas, and Don Geronimo?
You know, I might have to sublet some space. I'll tell you this. Ahmad Rashad definitely lives in Michael Jordan's bunk. I've mentioned that before.
Sure.
Isaiah was here kissing his butt last night, too.
Well, someday I'm going to run tape on that, and we're just going to bring the tape in and listen to Isaiah Thomas butcher the English language. And Bob Costas and Doug Collins, who just have to sit there and never correct him on anything that he says. It's embarrassing. Like, it points it out.
Right.
More times that the guy can't speak properly.
Well, Bob Costas is too busy saying he got off early and often.
You can do about it.
I'd be giving you a hard time about that if you weren't such a long-term Bulls fan, but you have been a Bulls fan for years and years and years.
Yeah, really going out on a ledge after they won their first two championships. I said, hey, this might be a good star to hitch myself to.
Yes, and you know, throughout the years, you've made those controversial statements like, Michael Jordan is good.
Hey, he's the best. Simply,
thank you.
Really, he's the best athlete ever. Better than any hockey player, any football player, any baseball player.
And that can't be underscored enough.
Okay, shut up, Buzz. I don't need your help. Okay. I don't need your help. This is between me and Mike.
Okay. You know how I feel about sports. I love sports, and I respect the ability of Michael Jordan.
There's nobody, as I said, outside of you and me.
Yes.
There's nobody I can think of in the world that every day comes and does the job. He kicks ass. He's inspiring. Yes, I'll be the town crier on that. Sharing room with Ahmad Rashad. Okay?
He's cool. But, you know, it's not like anybody can make an argument for that. It's not like anybody can come up to you and say, I disagree. I don't think Michael Jordan is that good.
That's why he's such a great guy to idolize. Like, foolproof.
I think he's a good guy to root against. Just because he's that good. It's like, it's good to see the incredible guy get his comeuppance, you know what I mean?
That's why a lot of idiots call our show, though. I'm always on the side of the guy who's a perfectionist. Because I happen to be a perfectionist.
I like the underdogs. I like to root for the underdogs. That's from a life of disappointment with several of my sports teams. Mm-hmm. I think that you become that when you root for, you know, one team for your whole life.
Well, I've been an underdog my whole life in my life, Mike.
Yes.
Not just with the teams that I've root for. I've been a big loser in life for many, many years. And now I'm on a winning track. I'm on a winning streak right now, right here. Hot baby. This is an inspirational story.
Michael Jordan. I'm resisting the urge to argue with you about Michael Jordan. I don't know why I want to, and I'm just going to stop right here.
Because you don't like it. You don't like it when I just unabashedly say, listen, this guy's just the best. He really seriously gets my ultimate respect.
I guess, you know what I don't like about it? I don't like about it. I think the guy gets enough credit. I think the guy gets
enough
credit.
Not for me.
But see, I don't know the game. If I knew the game, I could feel like I could speak to it. But I don't know the game. And so, I mean, in his game, I'm sure he is, without question, the greatest to ever play the game.
The best.
And I know that. You know how I know that? Because I've heard it from so many different people, so many different times. And if I didn't believe it, it would be so incredibly pounded into my head that I would know it. I would certainly know it living in this country. Because you get him everywhere you go, you get Michael Jordan.
He can't help it that he always comes through in the clutch.
Eating hot dogs.
Hey, good for him.
Appearing with cartoons. Get it. You know that Michael Jordan is the greatest.
He is the greatest. Thank you for agreeing. Thank you for jumping on the Michael Jordan bandwagon, Mike. I'll get a cut for you and Mike's bung.
Oh, no, thank you.
Mike's bungalow. Ahmad Rashad will have to move into the Dingleberries. And you and I will take the master bedroom.
Hey, I've never been here before. Looks kind of nice.
Oh, you got a pool table in there?
Fantastic. Look at that. Hey, look, a wet bar.
Nice selection of cigars. And Michael Jordan's bung. Would you climb inside to be one of those people that's just so enamored with him?
So crowded in here, though. Too many people.
You get 5% off all your purchases of his shoes and his cologne.
His cologne.
His cologne. I have his cologne.
Do you have his cologne?
Swear to God.
Do you have his number on anything?
23. On the shoes.
Okay, you don't have a jersey, though?
Oh, yes.
You have a Michael Jordan jersey?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Oh, yeah. Authentic.
Do you have any kind of any other paraphernalia from Michael Jordan?
Yeah, lots of Bulls stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Lots of stuff.
Just curious. I'm just curious. I'm just asking questions. I'm not trying to work you.
I proudly wear that crap. I know I look like a retard wearing that crap. Look like some 40-year-old guy walking around with a shirt on that says, you know, Michael Jordan's God. Well, that's just me, man.
What are you going to do when he's gone? When he's retired.
Same thing that Phil Hartman's wife did.
I didn't know you felt that strongly about it. I had no idea.
So he better play for a couple more years.
And they're going to... What are they up? 3-1 now?
3-2.
3-2.
They close it out tomorrow night.
Okay.
Big game tomorrow night. Hello?
Hey, Don.
I'll be watching in the nude. In front of my television. Hello?
Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
Do you know where I might possibly be able to buy a Turkern?
Buy a what?
A Turkern.
It sounds like we're going into a joke here.
We're supposed to say, what's a Turkern, and what do you say, about $2 an hour?
Oh, man. Yeah.
God.
Are you kidding me? This is a serious call?
Actually, I wanted to bet you on the game tomorrow night.
How about we bet the game of life?
Okay.
That seems to be a hot topic on today's show.
The game of life.
The game of life.
How about the game of operation?
Ha. Ha, ha.
Remove wrenched ankle.
There you go. Everybody knows that.
Best remove funny bone.
Best ad campaign for a game board ever.
Right. Come on. Goodbye. Hello. Dynamite Show.
Don.
Bobby.
Hey, I think I can shed a little light on that germ that called you from Portland yesterday. Why he called?
Do we need any lights shut on that?
All right, sure. We got it. You know that he was that he'd listened to our show for a long time.
Yeah. Well, that station broadcasts Stern. They got a website. People can email him.
Yeah.
If they want to. But yeah, they broadcast Stern, so I think that's why he called you. It was giving you a hard time.
No. I don't think so. I think you're off base with that.
Yeah. Now, we got a lot more information about that. That you know, that he'd listened for a long time, then he finally got this little gig in Portland, and you know, he was hoping that this was his ticket to the big time, and he's going to find out otherwise.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll take a couple of days, though.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about him because he's insignificant to us. We won't talk about him until there's a reason to. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We trust he had a good day.
Bye-bye. Hello. And tomorrow will be a good day. Mm-hmm. And then next week will continue to be a good day for him.
Yes, the good days will continue.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, I'm just wondering how you feel about MJ getting his old man killed.
Oh, because of his gambling debts?
Yeah. You think there's anything to that?
How would I know, man?
I never heard that story.
Mm. Oh, really?
Oh, that supposedly Michael Jordan had all these gambling decks in Atlantic City, and that's why his dad got
whacked. That's got to be crap, though, because, I mean, those were two punk kids that did that were off on a joyride, and they were such idiots that they had a videotape, and they put themselves on the videotape. Those are not professional leg breakers for the mob and loan sharks. No way.
Yeah, but...
And I don't even know Michael Jordan, and I know the answer to that.
Coming around, Mike. Coming around. Pull up a Chase Lounge here in Shebang.
You know, I know enough about the guy to know how much and how devastated he was, and I think that sucks that people would say that about him.
Good for you, Mike.
Now, wait a minute.
We'll get you a nice table for two right here in the corner. Get you a nice pot of iced tea.
That was totally spontaneous.
Your waiter will be Tony Kukoc.
Don't read anything into that, please.
Hey, that makes it even funnier. You'd make all the loser guys on the Bulls. All the bad, dorky white guys who never get in the game, like
right.
Judd Bushler. Bushler. I think it's either Buchler, but I've heard it pronounced Bushler.
Mr. Bushler.
He would have to be like the Mater D in Michael Jordan's bung.
Right.
And he would bring, he'd have the little the towel on his arm.
Yes.
Wearing his Bulls uniform.
Welcome to the entrance of Michael's bung. Can we get you a choice seat by the wet bar?
And the cook would be Tony Kukoc.
Yeah, he's another one of those guys.
Because he's a foreign guy. He's like from Czechoslovakia. He's like from some a half-assed nation somewhere.
Would you have the
Croatia? From Croatia.
Would you have the cadaver-like coach in there with a as a maitre d'?
Wine steward.
Wine steward, big medal around his neck.
Yeah.
Bonjour.
All of them in Michael Jordan's bunk. Hello.
Shebang. Hello, my boo-boo.
Hello, darling.
You forgot, you didn't close Max up in his kennel.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, well, you didn't latch it, boo-boo, and I think he went into your room. All right.
Thanks for the bulletin. Did he go in there?
No, I'm lying about that part. I haven't even looked. I just walked in the door, and he's running around wild, so I don't know where we'll find the surprises.
Listen, this is my wife, everybody. She can't wait to neuter. She can't wait for our new dog to be neutered. She talks about it happily.
Enjoys it.
Yeah.
No, if I lived on a farm, I'd let him breed. But I don't think you'd go for any more puppies.
He's this new dog we have, Max, the little dog, the terrier, he's the horniest.
Really?
He humps. He tries to hump the German Shepherd. He tries to hump Brandy.
And poor Brandy, she's our senior citizen, and she got him going so that she was humping yesterday, and she hasn't humped in years.
And you know, sometimes that when Brandy, the dog would... Yes, here's Brandy.
I'm very, very sick.
She's laying on the ground, and Max will come over and actually straddle her face.
And hump her face?
And humps her face.
Wow, that is a horny dog.
Yeah.
And you should see him humping the German Shepherd because he only comes up to about his ankle, but he's working him.
Does he ever tackle human legs?
No, he doesn't go for it.
Well, at least he keeps it to the other dogs.
Yeah, but it's a love fest here now because Brandy's going and, yeah.
Hey, did you ever clean up that vomit today?
No, I haven't gotten to that yet.
Come on, which one of us is the wife? Honey, you know that vomit makes me vomit myself.
It only makes you vomit because you were never forced to clean it up. I mean, the same way you gag over diapers. If you had changed a million diapers like I did when I was a baby, you wouldn't gag it.
I have a gag reflex, and you know this. This morning I was letting the dogs out, and Frida said, "What is Colonel Klink eating?" That's the German Shepherd. And I walked over and said, "What are you eating, boy? Come here, boy. Come here." And he just said, bleh. He just had thrown up a bunch of stuff, and he was standing there eating it.
Well, Mark.
And And then I walked over towards Frieda, and she said, well, what are you going to do about that? I said, honey, you know, I got a gag reflex happening.
You inform me like it's my job. But Bart cleaned it up because I just passed the buck on down to him.
Oh, good. Yeah. All right, good. Well, that's how things should work in a family, right?
All right, but now I got to go on a hunt for a dog to do because you didn't close the cage.
All right, happy hunting.
All right.
I love you.
I love you, too.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye.
I like Easter.
There you go. Yes, hope you find something.
Hey, look what I found.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, we must not laugh. B.O.V. take six. Dating is a game that grown-ups play. Dating means acting in a silly way. Dating makes a gal start way to walking. Then like a baby. This is like a guy. Sound like a wino, man. I miss it this time. We'll call a break. Call the group.
B.O.B. takes up.
Lunch, 1 hour.
Joe.
B.O.B.
Chicago, I'll show you.
All right, now listen, before we get into this,
yes.
Trust me, this is going to be very annoying. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let it roll.
Okay.
This guy's singing 129 songs in a row.
All right, I don't think that'll be very funny.
We've got other stuff, though. We've got other stuff.
Yeah.
We got news on Dave Weinlich, buddy.
Ah, yes, the guy that married right? the girl in the ceremony over the weekend.
The freak, the guy that went got married in the Mall of Minneapolis.
Yep.
Okay, also, we didn't get to see it on the net yesterday,
mm-hmm.
but we do have the hospital where that lady is, where she let everything be shown on the Internet, where she had the birth shown on the Internet.
Excellent.
Right? So we did follow up on both of those from yesterday.
Good.
And listen, maybe we shouldn't even talk about this today. This lame list of the 100 all-time best movies.
Oh, I was scanning it today.
I went through objectively. I got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30. Well, I get maybe 35 out of the 100 that I think deserve to be on this list.
Anything prior to 1960 you would not have put on the list.
I got a couple.
Did you?
I got a couple that might surprise you. Here's all I want to say.
It's a Wonderful Life you picked, right? That's one that's on there.
Sure. 1946.
Right.
I can't wait for all of these people to die. And by this, I don't mean the actors and I don't mean the actresses.
No.
I mean the people that are making this list. I can't wait until the oldest person on earth that's going to vote on one of these lists, their frame of reference is like when movies started being in color, or more important, when movies started getting ratings.
Do you know what you're saying? You're saying, but it won't matter then because you will be dead also.
No, no, no. I will be alive.
No, you won't. Because the people that know these movies will be dead.
No, the people that are old enough to remember those movies right now, they're close to death. I'm going to be here a while more.
Those movies are... Anybody can remember those movies.
But, no, no, no. But these old codgers, they hold on to them.
So you think it's a bunch of seniors that are voting on this
The
list.
American Film Institute?
Was Patton on that list?
Yes, but I think you'd... Like myself, you're going to be let down when you see all the good movies are at the way bottom end of the list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, Goodfellas is number 94.
Right.
Pulp Fiction is number 95.
It's great to see. Yeah. I kind of looked at it a different way. I thought it was great that Pulp Fiction finally, you know, made a list like that.
And the reason
that was cool.
The reason that it did is out of maybe the 1,000 old farts that make this, maybe 100 of them are young enough to realize that Pulp Fiction is a great movie.
Do you like old movies at all?
No, and I'll tell you why.
I mean, are there any that... Do you not watch them? Is that what it is?
They suck, because before you got to when they started rating movies...
Right.
All the movies are so jive, they're unbelievable. I can't stand watching, like, an old goddamn Humphrey... What's his name
movie? Humphrey Bogart.
All right. Or give me another one of those guys. Spencer Tracy.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You ever watch Bridge Over the River Kwai?
It's like watching Blondie. Did you ever watch the Blondie and Dagwood things when you were a kid? Right? Black and white, right?
Yeah.
Where Blondie would come home and Dagwood would be there and they'd talk and everything was happy, like Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
No realism in these movies. That's why I can't get into it. The Bridge on the River Kwai did not make my list.
Did it make the list of the...
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
I'm sure it's on here somewhere.
One of my favorites.
Only 11 comedies out of that 100 movies.
I'll tell you the old ones that I picked.
Okay.
Casablanca. But even that one, wavering on.
Why did you pick that one? Did you pick that one just to be PC or what?
Because my wife had just called me and said that she didn't have cancer.
Right.
So I was real happy.
Okay.
So I know she likes that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is shaky. Wizard of Oz. I could go either way on Wizard of Oz.
But most of us did grow up watching The Wizard of Oz,
right?
You know, from a kid's perspective.
Cool movie. Godfather, of course.
Yep.
Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
Then I have Psycho, Star Wars, Chinatown, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, 2001, Raging Bull, E.T., Bonnie and Clyde, Apocalypse Now. I got all the cool ones, man.
Mm-hmm.
Annie Hall, Godfather Part 2. Taxi Driver, Jaws, Amadeus. All right, here's one I'll give you. Sound of Music. A MASH. I pick Sound of Music. MASH.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders Lost Ark. Tootsie. Close Encounters. Silence of the Lambs Network. American Graffiti. Rocky. Deer Hunter. Platoon. Fargo. Easy Rider. Patton. Goodfellas. Pulp Fiction. Everything else
on this list. Was on there. I was looking for it.
Everything else on this list blows. I might as well give you the stuff I didn't pick. Here are the movies that I think really suck.
Okay.
First, so overrated, Citizen Kane.
Man, that's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Piece of crap.
It
does not hold my attention.
All right, okay.
Okay, then Casablanca, I picked him up. Okay.
Right.
Gone with the Wind.
We can agree.
Yeah.
Hate it.
I think vastly overrated.
Never seen it. Lawrence of Arabia. Boring.
That's not a bad movie.
It's not one of the 100 best ever. The Graduate. Again, you know what's wrong with The Graduate?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
The Graduate was made 20 years too early.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't show you anything.
Trailblazing.
They don't get into it like you could today. So I say no, it's not one of the 100 best. On the Waterfront, P.U.
You didn't like On the Waterfront? What's my... You know something you don't have... Where's your taste? Where the hell is your taste?
Schindler's List. Listen, when I go to the movies, I don't want to be depressed out of my mind.
But it's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Hey, not to me. It's a bummer, man. I didn't like it. You know what I mean? Singing in the Rain.
You're not supposed to like it, though. You're not necessarily supposed to really, like, feel good about it. You know, the fact that you felt bad.
That's what I want in the movies.
That's what, see, he was going.
Right?
He was going for feeling bad, you
know? Forget about, you want to feel bad, open the door and go outside. Right?
All right.
Come live at my house for a week.
You want to feel bad.
Then I've got, let's see, what did I pick? Singing in the Rain. Sunset Boulevard, Bridge on the River Kwai, Some Like It Hot, All About Eve, The African Queen. You can burn all of these movies as far as I'm concerned.
Oh,
really, Grapes of Wrath. I read the book. It sucks. Maltese Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Strangelove. No, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
No, it's
Jimmy Starr?
It's just like the Christmas one, except these are different guys.
Well, see, that's why you like it. It's a Wonderful Life, and that's exactly what it is. Very similar to that.
Right.
Treasure of the Sierra Madre is the movie the line came from, Badges, We Don't Need No Stinking Badges.
It's not one of the 100 best of all time, I don't think.
Great Humphrey Bogart movie.
High Noon, Forget It, Kill a Mockingbird, It Happened One Night.
That Kill a Mockingbird, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Midnight Cowboy, overrated. Best Years of Our Lives, Double Indemnity, Dr. Zhivago, oh, that's a boring movie. North by Northwest, West Side Story.
Yeah, that's believable. Gangs get out and do perfectly choreographed numbers.
I'm just telling you, these movies, I can't
Natalie wait. Wood, real hottie in that, you know, plays Maria in
the
West Side
30
Story.
Years from now, they're going to come out with a list like this, and it's going to have movies like Ernest Goes to Camp on it, okay?
Oh,
and
dear.
The very rare item will be one of these old fart movies that somehow manages to hold on. Is this too self-indulgent to continue to read the list of movies that I hate?
No, I think it's interesting.
That don't belong. King Kong, Birth of a Nation, Streetcar Named Desire, Clockwork Orange, Snow White, Butch Cassidy, Philadelphia Story, Here to Eternity. They all suck. All Quiet on the Western Front, Third Man, Fantasia, Rebel Without a Cause, Vertigo, Stagecoach, Manchurian Candidate, American in Paris, Shane, French Connection. Oh, I should have picked that one.
French Connection, great
That's
movie.
A good one. Forrest Gump. No way.
We agree about Forrest Gump.
Ben-Hur, right.
Oh,
Wuthering Heights.
Just a second. Just 1 second. Don't blow by Ben-Hur.
Blow. You said blow by. Wuthering Heights, Gold Rush, Dances with Wolves.
Oh. What the hell is the Gold Rush? What is that? I'm not
1925,
familiar.
Mike.
Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, I'm sure it holds up real good. City Lights, Wild Bunch, Giant, Duck Soup, Mutiny on the Bounty, Frankenstein, Jazz Singer. I like the Neil Diamond Jazz Singer better. My Fair Lady.
Oh,
hate that. A Place in the Sun, The Apartment. Searchers, Bringing a Baby, Unforgiven, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and Yankee Doodle Freakin' Dandy.
Love Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Stinks.
It stinks. Hey, all lousy. I've seen a lot of these lists, and this list, compared to a lot of them, is better because they have modernized it. And it used to be you would have hated this list 10 times more than you
But
hated
you know what it.
It
is? It is a tip of the hat to the modern era.
Mm-hmm.
Look at here, Mike. You can tell with my intricate system of marking the movies I like with a dot.
Right.
You'll see that the dots fall predominantly in the third category, which is the... Like, you mean to tell me Fargo is the 84th best movie of all time? You mean to tell me that some movie called Modern Times that came out in 1936?
Never saw Modern Times.
Of course. And soon, all of the people that did see it will be dead, and then they will not vote for it anymore. Soon, the world will be full of people that dig what we dig.
Did you ever... You've seen The Bridge Over the River Kwai, right?
Yeah, my dad made me watch that movie.
You didn't like it?
You know...
It's really a good war movie.
It's like every...
Yeah, but it's better than every war movie. It's a good war movie. And you know something? They have a bit of realism in there, because I'm gonna defend older movies for a second. There are a lot of movies that when they really used to go out on location, they would do the very best they could. And in a movie like The Bridge Over the River Kwai, they went into the like malaria jungles
good.
And they filmed it all in there.
Listen.
And it looks like it would have looked when they were all in that POW camp.
That's fine. You can be Jethro Tull living in the past. And I want to see it now. Computer enhancement. Do
Alec
it.
Alec Guinness stands up there and he realizes.
I'd rather see Alec Baldwin.
He's standing over there and he says, "My God, what have I done?" I mean, what a moment. Yeah. What
there's
a moment.
There's so many modern movies that should be on this list. Not one movie with Albert Brooks on this list. How could that be?
Yeah. I agree. I think that Lost in America,
yes,
as far as a comedy, it should have been on there. I think it's a classic comedy.
Unfortunately, most of the people that like Lost in America are like under 60.
Animal House should be on this list.
Oh, definitely. There's a million that should be. Blues Brothers. I mean, you know, we could...
Some of those Monty Python movies should be on this
list. We could waste a whole show talking about what should be on. Just wait. 30 years, let's all meet back here. When all these people are dead, and this list will totally change. Citizen Kane, you're going down.
Rosebud. And then we'll be old and somebody will be wishing we were dead.
That's all right, Buzz.
And the world will continue, and life will go on.
See, but the thing is, they'll be wrong. No, hold on. How could you possibly... See, the thing is, those movies are jive, they suck. 30 years from now, you're going to look at Pulp Fiction or Goodfellas, you're going to say... What else could they have done?
You never know.
You never know.
Right?
You know, society changes. You know, you could be looking at Pulp Fiction seriously 100 years from now, and people say, what the hell is that Pulp Fiction?
Well, it's 100 years from now, Mike. Everything might change in 100 years.
50 years, people could be doing that. Yeah. It could happen.
50 years, Pulp Fiction will still be cool.
You know what you're doing? You're sounding just like everybody's father would sound. You're saying that your era, right now when the movies came out, is the best.
It's a fact. They're more realistic. There's cussing, there's nudity, there's violence. They show everything.
You know, in 50 years, conceivably, they could go back to not showing violence and nudity, and you would be sitting there saying, you know, in my day, they used to show nudity and have a guy's head get blown off, and then people that are like 12 years old will be looking, oh, man, listen
things,
to that old folks.
Listen, things in that regard will never change. I imagine 30 years from now, they'll be doing the network news naked. Tom Brokaw will be sitting there. Tom Brokaw Jr. will be sitting out there with his wiener out of his pants going, good evening.
That might be wishful thinking. I'm not sure, but I'm with you on it.
Right? Soon all of these different standards are coming down. So anyway.
So this angered you, this list.
You could tell. A little bit.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, and some big stupid 3-hour special last night. Right. On CBS. Right. Gee, I wonder why CBS is getting its ass kicked in the ratings. They wasted 3 beautiful hours on that show last night, showing all these old clips from, like, King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
King Kong sucks.
You know something? I just realized.
He's so fakey, man.
That's when my dish froze. It was Anne Bancroft from The Graduate, and they were showing a scene from it, and that's when I looked at a still of Anne Bancroft for like half an hour.
Wow.
Because my dish had been fried by lightning.
Wow. Maybe it was her face that did it. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Yeah, I have two things. One,
yes.
With Mike on that that list, the 100 thing list. But I
sure, easy position to take. Stand by the classics. It's all right.
I always like that.
Not,
I'm not going out on any limbs here. No.
I always like that when I say something like that, and immediately people call up right away. Hey, yeah, Mike, right on. Way to go, Mike. Listen, I'll tell you.
Hey, I'm not doing it for any ulterior motive. This is the way I'm talking about. Lots of good movies on this list, and you know, we agree to disagree.
Yeah, except that I think if push came to shove,
yes,
if given the choice.
I'm just talking about movies. Not all of them do I think, you know, not all the, you know, for example, Casablanca, good movie, but it's not a movie that when it's on, I run to see it. But there are a lot of old movies on this list that I'll actually stop and
watch.
What
about The Citizen Kane? Would you stop and watch that piece of trash?
Well, that's one of my wife's favorite
movies.
But
we're talking about you, though, now.
Me? I don't know. I mean, you know, I really have never sat down because I can't find it, and I don't go out and rent it, so I'm probably no. I'll be honest with you, no.
Same with a movie like Schindler's List.
I love Schindler's List. I think it's one of the greatest movies ever made. I really do. I think it's really one of the most moving, unbelievable movies ever made.
I'm not disputing that, but I'm saying if you're sitting at home, you go, hey, what's on? Oh, Schindler's List. Oh, listen, get some Triscuits, get some nachos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Or maybe in your house. I don't know.
Hello.
Not in mine. I love to eat when I watch a movie. Mm-hmm. I can't eat when I'm all bummed out. I can eat during a good horror movie, though.
Sure. Yeah, horror movies are, you know, you can chow down, have a nice pizza when you're watching Jason put, like, an arrowhead through somebody's throat.
That makes you hungry. Hello, Dr. Mike Show.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, fine.
Good. They didn't put a lot of comedies on this damn thing. A Shot in the Dark should have been there, and even Reservoir Dogs.
What's A Shot in the Dark?
That's Peter Sellers movie where he's the first Clouseau, real good acting guy.
First Pink Panther movie?
Yeah, well, second one.
Wouldn't make my list, buddy.
Do you remember the scene in the Pink Panther movie? It's the funniest scene that he ever did.
No.
Where he's on the parallel bars. Do you remember that one? And he's on the parallel bars. All right, I shouldn't even say it because it's slapstick, and slapstick does not translate well when you're trying to explain it. But he just does a dismount, and he does it on the wrong side, and there's a stairwell, and it made me laugh. I'm sorry. It's my favorite moment in a Peter Sellers movie, and I laughed out loud, and now you're going to give me that look,
no.
And I will just shut up.
Sounds funny. That's funny, Mike. That's funny. Hello.
I would like you, Bloom.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. I was trying to go.
That was
you.
Peter Sellers calling from his current home.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio Gods.
Hi there.
Hey, they didn't put any Eastwood movies on there.
No, they had that one where he was the cowboy.
Oh, did they?
Unforgiven. It's number 98.
Yeah, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly was the best spaghetti western ever made. And also they didn't include anything by Mel Brooks, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, which...
Oh, correct.
Yeah.
Young Frankenstein should have been on
this.
Yeah.
Right. Proud and again, Cooper, yeah. Mike, that's nothing more than the age factor.
Yeah.
Please believe me.
Hey, I would be more than... There are a lot of movies here that I would bump off this list to make room for other movies.
Yeah.
I will give you that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listen. There. Thank you for letting me have that rant now. My wife doesn't have to hear that tonight when I go home.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Now...
Oh,
Hell yeah.
Let's hear this guy sing.
Okay. Chicago, Chicago, that darling down, that darling down, Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you right, I'll show you right.
This guy's name, oh, Nicky Knockers is here, we're going to have to break.
Oh, what a shame. What a shame we can't listen to this guy anymore.
This guy's name is Jack Moderian.
I just want to say.
And let me just read you the back label of his CD, okay?
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay, well, that kind of idea.
Jack Moderian loves to sing.
Yes,
it's as simple as that.
Sure.
Ask him to sing, and sing he will. Claiming a repertoire of almost as many songs as Frank Sinatra,
mm-hmm.
We recently challenged him to sing for 45 minutes continuously. Armed with a handheld cassette recorder and a 90-minute tape, we stepped out on the back porch of the duplex nursing home in Boston, where he lived. Clear June afternoon, weather perfect, birds can be heard singing in the trees. This is the unedited recording of Jack's 129-song medley.
Wow.
Okay. Chicago, Chicago, that darling down, that darling down, Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you right, I'll show you right.
Let me give you something else.
Okay, yeah, because we've heard that one.
That's just the first one.
That's his classic.
On the CD. And they all go seamlessly from
right.
One song to the next.
So we went through the air with the greatest of ease. Oh, yeah, it is the man on the funny trapeze. Why were you? School days, oh dear, oh golden rule days. Oh, reading and writing and arithmetic. Oh, all to the tune of a critic.
See, we can't squeeze this into a short segment.
I will go to say, I love you so. I will go to say, I love you so. When we were a couple of kids, pouring milk through the ball game, pouring milk through the back. Oh, Bobby, some beaters and grabs are jacked.
All right, well, you get the you get the idea. It goes on and on.
45 minutes straight.
Yep, and maybe sometime we'll have the 45 minutes to play all of them. I hope it'll be soon.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Cedric Miller wants to know why you and the Orioles don't go out and get some more team speed.
Team speed, for Christ's sake, you get f***ing goddamn little fleas on the f***ing bases, getting picked off, trying to steal, getting thrown out, taking runs away from you. You get them big suckers that can hit the f***ing ball out of the ballpark and you can't make any goddamn mistake.
Terry Elliott of Washington, D.C. wants to know why you don't use Terry Crowley as a designated hitter all the time.
Well, Terry Crowley's lucky he's in f***ing baseball, for Christ's sake. He was released by the Cincinnati Reds. He was released by the f***ing goddamn Atlanta Braves. We saw that Terry Crowley could sit on his ask for 8 innings and enjoy watching a baseball game just like any other fan, and has the ability to get up there and break one open in the f***ing ninth. So if this ticker mind his own business and let me manage the f***ing team, we'd be a lot better off.
Well, certainly you've made your opinions known on the fans' questions about baseball, Earl, but let's get to something else. Alice Sweet from Norfolk wants to know the best time to put in a tomato plant.
Alice heard about where to her next lay's coming from, rather than where her next goddamn tomato plant's coming from. If she'd get her ass out of the f***ing bars at night and go hustling around the goddamn street, she might get a fuck in her once in a while. I don't understand where these questions are coming from, Tom. That's about it for manager's corner. Go f*** yourself in the f*** with your show coming up next on the Baltimore Oriole Baseball f***ing Network.
The Don and Mike Show. They soothe your chapped ass, Don and Mike.
It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak to tell you, well, you knew this, Don and Mike are on vacation. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because during the best of, you listen, and when Don and Mike come back, they ask you a question about the best of, you get it right, and then you win $1,000. See? That's good. Okay? Okay. Enjoy the best of Don and Mike.
Click, click.
You are a great crowd. Thanks. All right, now we're all set. We're all... Hello?
Hello?
Oh, that's good. That's good. We are all set for the big seance. Now, everybody please hold hands. And everybody please repeat with me. There they go.
I'm up here, looking down on
on you. Is that Don?
Phil.
Don. Let me take this opportunity to reassure all of my fans that I'm doing just fine. I'm not down there with you anymore, but up here everything is hunky-dory.
So listen, man, first off, my condolences on being shot by your wife. Was he shot in the head? But we'll ask him. Were you shot in the head or what?
Let me simply say that right now, I could use an aspirin. I really could. Just a little excess soreness. But other than that, I'm very happy. You know, when you're freed from your earthly chains, everything just feels Jim Dandy. How are you? I've heard you talking about me, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
All right, Phil Hartman, first question.
Sure, I'm here to answer all the questions for you.
Why did your wife shoot you?
I'd rather not comment on that because it would make me look not too suave and deboner, as you like to say.
Oh, is it because you had a thing with another... Is that what I read? It's because you had a thing with another woman, right?
Well, we're going to get into the real ugly questions, aren't we? The good thing about being in heaven is I don't have to answer them if I don't want to, because I've been reassured that because I was murdered, I get an e-ticket to get into the good place with the pearly gate.
That's a question I wanted to ask. You're obviously in heaven. What about your wife?
Well, she didn't fare as well now, did she? Otherwise, we'd be here doing this interview together. But I'll tell you very honestly, and you can take this to the bank for me, Phil Hartman, no matter what you do, no matter what a bad guy you are, if you're murdered, you go up here. Isn't that a kick in the butt?
Are you aware that last night when they were eulogizing you on Larry King, that your number one proponent, the guy that was most behind you, was that lame Steve Guttenberg? Your thoughts on that, please, Phil Hartman.
I'd be happy to share my thoughts with you about Steve Guttenberg. Don, can we talk frankly?
Yes, Phil.
See, I understand that the quick banter between us is a little difficult with this satellite technology. Steve's fallen on hard times with his career, and so he's using any opportunity at all to further that career with excess publicity. And unfortunately, he's standing in my pool of blood while he's doing it. And I'm not flattered in any way whatsoever. I'd like to see some of the bigger stars that I've appeared with. Or perhaps the chief executive himself. If he could come forward, that would really make me say Rudy Tooney.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Is that a real mustache?
It's a drawn-on mustache, Dave. Boy, I'll tell you something. You know, it's wonderful that after all I've gone through in the last 48 hours, I'm still able to maintain my sense of humor, feeling very good about myself up here. And as far as the lady that pulled the trigger, I can stand up here now and say, Nanny, Nanny, Boo, Boo, Phil's up here, and I was a philanderer.
So in other words, it's almost... Would you say it's worth it?
I would say that if you want an e-ticket to get into heaven, the best way when that time comes, hopefully not in an untimely fashion, is to say, hey, how about shooting me? It's a quick way to get up to heaven as soon as you can. I will tell you one thing that's a little disturbing.
What's that?
There's this fellow that greets you up here, and I don't know who the heck he is.
Oh, Major Bill Smith, I bet.
Is that the guy with the white fedora, black t-shirt, and gold record around his neck?
That's him.
Oh, what a loser. I don't mind telling you. You know, we get a rule book up here, and they tell us to say nice things about people, but I'm a little strained to do so with Major Bill Smith. I mean, he ought to have an L tattooed on his forehead.
Hey, how about those people that were on that show with you, News Radio? Now that you're dead, the show is pretty much doomed for failure, right?
Well, there's certain things that I can't control. And I'll be honest with you, Don. I was an enormous presence on both SNL and News Radio. And great talent's hard to find. So as far as I'm concerned, for those other actors, screw them.
Could I impose to hear some of your bits from The Simpsons?
Of course I'll do that for you. Hi, this is Troy McClure. You might remember me from other fabulous information kiosks, like Where's Nordstrom? And this is Springfield. I love my fans, and I guess you're one of the many millions, huh?
So when your wife came in and shot you, were you sleeping? Were you dozing off? The word that you're... And how about this? It's an NBC publicist that announced that you had had problems, that you were going to leave her for another woman, and then she shot you. What was that like? Tell me how that unfolded, please.
Well, sure. Everybody has problems. But I'll be honest with you. I'm up here now, and you know something? The view's simply great. And I'll tell you the truth. I was sound asleep when it happened. So technically, there wasn't all that much pain. And I know that'll reassure a lot of my fans. I'm just sorry that I couldn't take the time to give each and every one of them a lovely parting gift before I went to meet my maker.
You broke a cardinal rule that all guys learn is when they're in high school. When you're going to break up with a girl to be with another girl, you don't tell the girl that you're breaking up with her to go be with another girl. Why did you tell your wife you were going to be leaving her for another woman?
Well, you know something, Don. I'll be honest with you. As far as all the facts of the case, when they're all revealed, that will be the one detail that comes out where the world will justifiably accuse me of being totally stupid. I should have done it over the phone.
And how do you feel about being lumped with... John, what's his name? Who's the fat?
Belushi. John Belushi, Gilda Radner, Chris Farley, all the other Saturday Night Live cast members. I don't like being lumped with them. And as far as a curse, don't worry about it. There's no curse. We've all been around a very long time, and people like to create things. But as far as the adultery issue, remember, drive to another state before you tell it. I'll tell you, what a boner that was.
And final question for you, Phil Hartman. Have you met Frank Sinatra up there?
I certainly have. And I have a theory about Frank.
Yes.
He's very close to a lot of important and powerful angels up here in heaven. And he said he didn't like my impression. So I think he may have had something to do with it. And I confronted him with it. I said, oh, Blue Eyes, did you have anything to do with this? And he said, no, stupid. You told her while you were still in the house.
That's a very eerie effect. Is Major Bill Smith around by any chance?
Sure he is. He's standing by. He greets all the newcomers up here. He earlier was talking to Barry Goldwater. Let's see if I can pry him away.
That had to be a fascinating conversation, huh?
Oh, Major Bill Smith. Although I don't know if you're really a military officer.
I don't think so.
I'll get him over here right now.
Here we go.
Hello.
Oh, I could smell the lima beans. Hey, Mage.
Hello. This is Major Bill Smith up here in heaven. Just welcome. Tom Pickett, Phil Hartman. He was a big TV guy. And then Tom Pickett, United States Senator Barry Goldwater. It's getting crowded up here. You know, we had a week-long festival after Blue Eyes came up here. It's busy in Tom Pickett heaven, Don.
Major Bill, did you hear? I know we're about to lose the connection. Did you hear the amazing story that... I got the echo to you now.
Hello.
Did you hear the amazing story? Phil Hartman broke the cardinal rule that he told his wife that he was leaving her and he didn't like doing it on the telephone?
I'll tell you right now, dog. Up until that point in time, I thought there was no sharper dude than Phil Hartman. But he told his cotton-picking wife while she was still in the house. Oh, man. We're having lots of laughs about that up here.
Hey, and how's your fingernails?
My nails grow. All the women are jealous of my cotton-picking fingernails, dog. Phil wants to say something.
All right, we're about to lose the connection anyway. Phil, nice seeing you, Phil.
Hey, I just wanted to say, my nails grow too. Scratch, scratch, claw, claw. Hey, listen, I'd like to express my sincere thanks to all the people that are so concerned about my untimely passing.
Hey, I think your funeral's going to be on MSNBC.
Fantastic. I was hoping for a bigger network, but I guess when you haven't cracked the top 10 in the Q ratings, that's the way it works, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen. gentlemen, the very dead, Phil Hartman, in an exclusive on our show today.
Thank you for your concern.
So long. I'm happy. There he goes. Hello. Lost the connection.
No, it's good. It was nice to talk to him. Yeah.
I can't believe he told his wife that.
Boy. Man. I mean, he knows now, I guess.
You learned that in high school. You're going to break up with a girl, man. Don't do it face to face.
Sure. Do it the cowardly way.
Sure. Call her up, or even better, you know, send one of your buddies over with a note or something.
A note. That would have been the way to do it.
We wouldn't be dead today, Mike. You just send John Lovitz over with a note.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138. What the hell's going on here?
Oh, geez, well, isn't it the last hour? We got another hour to do? Geez, I thought we were almost finished. Good golly, Miss Molly. Boy, this is f***ing ponderous, man. Ponderous, f***ing ponderous.
Hi, this is Casey Kasem. American Top 40 has moved to a new time. I hope you'll join me this Saturday morning and every Saturday morning at 2. Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a damn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a f***ing up-tempo record every time I do a damn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. It's a god last damn time I want somebody to use his f***ing brain to not come out of a damn record that is, that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a f***ing dog dying. The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, now, where's the guy who's got the Magic Johnson tape?
Very good.
Although that'll just be a little bit of a tease before tomorrow when we actually read the transcript of whatever hilarity ensues on tonight's episode.
As he begins to hit his stride.
Hello. Is this Kevin?
No.
No.
I hear the TV on in the background, I believe.
Hello, who's this?
I was calling the Don and Mike Show.
How old are you?
I'd rather not say.
Yeah, this is Don and Mike.
This is Don and Mike?
Yeah, who's this?
Oh, this is Rhonda. I was listening to you on the radio.
Is there a chance you could turn Speed Racer down a little bit?
Oh, sorry. No, it was General Hospital.
Oh, okay.
I was calling to be, I'm trying to be caller 100.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We just got our winner. I thought I was picking up the phone to talk to the guy who has the tape of Magic Johnson. Oh, I see. That's on line 3.
Line 3.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and let you guys go so we can hear that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Back to our story.
Thank you.
Hello, Kevin.
What do you mean picking up that other line? She's looking at General Hospital, and I'm sitting here waiting.
All right, here's Kevin from Sacramento listening to us on the great KHTK.
No, I can't do it.
All right, do you have the whole show?
I got all of it, yeah. Everything's right. Ready.
Let's just roll it. Listen, it speaks for itself.
I queued it up to the best part, I guess you could call it. But
What do you think the best part is?
I don't know. This show stinks.
Well, what do you have it queued up to?
Where his mother mentions him in a movie, and then he's talking on the phone with his mother. Arsenio's sitting here.
No, go back before that.
How far?
Just go all the way back to the beginning.
Oh, man.
Where he has his awkward conversation with Sheila E.
All right.
And the cracker. The white guy.
He's not even... Okay.
Go all the way back to the beginning. All right, hold on. I'll come back to you. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yeah, I got to talk to Don and Mike. I'm calling from Las Vegas.
Yeah, you can't goof on a guy, even Magic Johnson, when he's talking to his mom.
No way.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought that was a
goof on nobody.
I thought that was a good bit. No, I was talking about this other guy. Hello, you're on the air right now.
That's great. I live in Washington, D.C., but I'm out here with my wife driving back to L.A., and I finally found something I'm used to hearing is Don and Mike.
So you're listening to us in the great city of Las Vegas, Nevada.
That's right. I usually listen to you on WJFK, but I'm out here, so I'm stranded in the desert, and the only thing I can hear is you guys.
Well, thank you.
Now, listen.
Why?
I've got to be part of this mud jumping thing.
Well, listen for the toe-tapping touchstones. What are you talking to me like a thug just because
I'm
Vegas?
I'm on a cellular phone. I don't have time to play that toe-tapping thing.
Hey, listen to me. You got a chance like everybody else, my friend.
Is that right?
Listen, F-ball.
Now, look, I'm going to come down to the studio, and I'm going to bring you guys lunch if you keep this up.
Hey, you bring your lunch. You bring all your people. We got torpedoes.
Listen, right. You tell them Zim don't take dick.
Am I making that clear to you, F-ball?
You got it.
And my name is Harry Zim. Zim don't do dick.
me don't go that way.
Hey, you know who I am?
Who are you?
I'm the guy telling you how it is.
My name is Ray Barboni.
Ray Bones.
Ray Bones. Uh-huh. They say the smog. They say the effing smog is why you have such beautiful effing sunsets.
That's right, baby.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Would that be the dream gig? Would that be just a small little nugget, just
hello?
A crumb in one of those kind of movies?
Hello.
I'm the one telling you how it is.
Donna Mike Show, hello.
Hi, this is Rachel. I was your contestant yesterday in the butt slap-off.
Oh, Rachel, glad you called in. I was just wondering, how in heaven's name is your petite ass today?
Well, you guys, I just have to say that both cheeks of my ass are very round, red, and chapped.
Oh, my gosh.
They hurt immensely.
Do they? And I just hope, is there any way they look a little bit better than when you left the studio yesterday? Are they recovering at all?
I think we're on the slow road to recovery. A couple of coworkers brought in some pillows for me.
Now, how did your wife treat you when you got home last night? Because you remember her lesbian wife called the show and was very irate yesterday.
Julie, that would be the lovely Julie.
That would be the lovely Julie. She was very irate. However, winning the money was a little bit of consolation. And by the end of the evening, everything went very smooth.
Ah,
beautiful.
Very smooth.
Did you make sure to ice the area?
We did ice it. We put some baby powder on. Mm. There were some different treatments. We'll try some more tonight.
Well, good. Let us know. Listen, call tomorrow and give us an ass update.
An ass update? I will do that.
Okay, thank you, Rachel.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
They're trying all sorts of different treatments.
That's great.
That was Rachel.
You got to go, Mike. How are we ever supposed to find a cure for cancer? We just don't keep trying the different treatments.
Absolutely. Just get down there and try it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
This is John from over in Rockville.
Hey, Johnny.
I just wanted to call and thank you guys for yesterday, the butt slap off. I was working late last night, and apparently my wife heard it on the way home.
Yeah.
And called me up, asked me if I'd heard it, and I said yes. And now she wants to have a one-sided butt slap-off with me.
So she just wants you to slap her hiney?
She's never been into spanking before. Very conservative.
Now, you'll be spanking her, obviously.
Yeah.
Will she spank you at all?
She didn't say. I mean, I think it's only going to be one-sided.
Yeah, good man. Good man. And furthermore, wear a cowboy hat when you do it.
Yeah.
And guns. You know, six-shooters.
And chaps.
That's right.
Pee Wee Herman chaps like Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Nothing else.
And make sure while you're doing it,
yep.
You get one of those big foam rubber We Are Number One things.
Yeah. And just do it like that.
Wave
Keep
it.
Shaking your finger in the air.
Wave it in the air.
Yippee-yi-yo!
Well, listen, glad those show could help you, sir.
Well, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, bye-bye. Hey, there you go. Who says our show doesn't do any good?
Yeah. See, what we do on this show every day is we make those little videotapes for you to play in your brain.
Well, spank my ass and call me Charlie. Isn't this exciting?
Hello, Don and Mike.
I think he's losing his voice.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, I just heard the little Debbie guy again.
Yeah, they're listening. Hello, Don and Mike.
Testing Don, Mike.
You're on the air.
Y'all need to have more Tom Gavin on.
Right, that's a great idea.
God,
hello.
I hate it when his agent calls.
Hello, Kevin.
Yeah.
Did you cue that tape up?
Coming out of commercial.
Yeah, that's fine. Coming out of commercial's fine.
Waiting to, unless he's going to introduce Arsenio right now, or Sheila's going to do it.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah, let's hear a little Magic Johnson last night. Worst television show ever. Worst ever.
Wow.
Not just the worst talk show.
That's saying something.
The worst show ever.
Yes, it was their friend. And one of the main reasons that I have this show.
I can't even hear what he's saying.
I gotta bring him out in style. So, see, let's take it away.
Ladies and gentlemen, Arsenio!
All right, I'll put it on hold. We don't need to hear that because everybody just howls like dogs. Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Tra-da-la, little Bob Dole.
Oh, well, Bob Dole guy, knock it off now.
Bob Dole calling quite a bit lately.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going today?
Bobby, great.
Yeah, I was just wanting to get some more information about that barbecue that you were cooking the other day. Sounded pretty good.
You mean the barbecue that Don fired up for the family?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, well, you can get all of our barbecues in the Don and Mike newsletter.
How's that?
I'm kidding. That what they feel like on Regis and Kathy Lee when they have some lame cooking segment?
If you would really like the Don barbecue recipe, it's right there on page 4A.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I got a who'd you do?
Yeah, you know we don't take those calls anymore,
and
see?
Also, we don't like people calling using phony accents, see?
Yeah, see?
Especially the people that are eating
that's
or chewing gum.
See?
See? Torpedoes is what I need, see? Get down there, get, you can take. Go tap up. We're going to go over there and get him, see?
See? There's a new boss in town, see? And his name's me, see? Me, boss. You call her, see? Yeah, see?
See? Get it done quickly. They get out of town. You got to take a powder.
You're not going to take me easy, see?
Yeah.
Call the boys, see? Mike, call Nails Burbank, see?
Yeah, he's fighting one of them foreign wars. Torpedoes is what I need. Then we'll take a powder out of there. We'll get Jack Buck. We'll get him in the back of the car. That's what we're going to do, see?
Call Burbank. Call Broyhill. Get the guys together, see?
Broyhill,
tell him to meet me downtown at Dennis Murphy's warehouse, 11 o'clock, see?
All right, Speewack, you lift the car up on its hinges and you get it over there, see? With the maybe.
Yeah, see? It's going to be, see?
See, that's the way it's going to be on this show, see?
That's right. Tomorrow, smacking buttocks. Big, big, big buttocks. Come on, see?
Torpedoes what I need, see? Take a powder, see? See?
Yeah, see?
See?
You're barely hanging in, my friend.
That's the way it's going to be. It's going to be that way, see?
No, nah, see?
It's going to be, see?
No, nah, see? No, nah, lame caller. You're chewing on
take
something,
it
man.
Slow, see?
Yeah, stop taking gum. Don't
yeah,
chew gum, see?
Yeah, see?
See? See? See, it's the way it's got to be.
That's the way it's going to be, see?
See? Listen, F-ball. You know Ray Bones out of Miami. He's a torpedo. Ray Bones. Ray Balboni, see? Ray Balboni, big tough guy. He's the one telling you how it is, see?
The effing smogs, see? That's the reason you have such beautiful effing sunset, see? See? Harry Jim, see?
F-U-F ball, see? See? If Edward G. Robinson spoke like today's film.
See? I'm rolling with a homie, see? I'm down with that OPP, see?
I gotta hop in my stupid-looking honeymobile, see? And take a powder, see?
See? It's old school. In the day, see? See? Toss my salad, see?
That was straight, that's it, see? I like syrup and jelly, see? Yeah, here we are in the big house. Yeah, the big house. I'm behind the big house. I need my salad toss, yeah, see?
Most old gays do that, see? Yeah, toss my salad, see?
That's clean, see? He's decent, see?
Yeah, do
toss
that
my
way.
Salad. That was straight,
be,
that's
see?
It, see? Yeah.
All right. Goodbye now. We'll play somewhere else. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. This is Don in Tampa.
Yeah, hey, my friend.
Hey, listen, you heard about, the guy whose pants fell off when he climbed out of his chair at the thing there in Washington the other night.
Yeah, and you know that he didn't have underpants on either.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But you know what was funnier still is when Clinton went to kneel in front of him, he suddenly looked up and said, wait a minute, you're not Chinese.
Listen, how many times do I have to tell our audience, if you have this lame material, please go to your local comedy club. You know, look in the phone book there in Tampa. I'm sure it's 555 ha ha.
Yes, go to Chuckles. Go to the Funny Bone.
And then he hangs up.
Go to the Laugh Factory.
He hangs up. This is not the place where you should be trying out your new material for all of you future Jerry Seinfelds out there.
And what guy's pants came off where, when, what happened?
Some Chinese dude. They were having dinner at the White House.
Uh-huh.
And this guy stood up.
Right.
And his pants fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And he had no underpants on. And his twig and berries were there.
Right. Really?
Yeah. And Clinton was unfazed by it.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's a sexual animal.
Right. And there was a big debate over whether C-SPAN was going to run the tape or not.
Nothing I haven't seen in the locker room. Go ahead. Wow, that's pretty good for a Chinaman.
That's the joke the guy just called with.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Nice job.
Do you have any more? Is that it?
No, that's essentially.
Plus, you went
story.
Into this like defensive crouch where you're practically standing on the counter there, and I was wondering whether you had anything.
In case there were any questions, I got out the story, but we've covered it, and so
you know what it is. Listen,
that's everything.
Buzz might as well urinate on his news cards every day.
No,
the problem with Buzz is here's the problem with Buzz. Okay.
The problem with Buzz.
He collects his news items all day, and he guards them. And if somebody on the show, us or a caller or somebody, mentions something that Buzz has planned for his news, well, then it's like a house of cards that start toppling. Have you ever seen him turn around? Because he got all of his stories on index cards laid out in front of him.
And that was one of them, right?
No.
See, that wasn't one of your stories? If I was going to use that story, it would have been on a card, but it was still on this, so I wasn't going to use it.
What's that card in your hand, then?
This is about Mariah Carey.
I bet I know that story, I won't piss you off.
No, it's okay.
She broke up with Derek Jeter.
Yes, she did.
Right. Got it. See, that's what he hates.
Yeah, but he'll still use it.
See, but the thing is, even if we mention something during the show, you should still do it during news and comment.
I'm flexible. Sometimes I go ahead and use it. Sometimes I don't. It depends on how well we cover.
No, you never do. You're very protective of your news. You're like a mother bear whose cubs are being threatened.
Will the Chinese man's pants falling off be in your newscast?
No. No, it will not.
You already have not intended to use it.
That's right. I already eliminated that story. Right.
Okay, now who am I to edit the news? That's a good story.
It's true. I considered it. That's why I have it here, but I didn't put it in the stack.
What did you go with in its place?
I don't know. A stack of other stuff. I mean,
I remember that story now. It was he was fut you. He was my own student. I wanted to make up for repeating the Clinton joke that the guy had. as I got up to speed when I had no idea what he was talking about.
I think it's cute the way that you protect your news like that.
Well, thank you.
And the way you get your feelings hurt if something is mentioned that you have coming up later in news.
You know, a guy likes to think he has something special, maybe something interesting to share with his coworkers, his playmates, and his friends, and you know, you just don't want the surprise to be spoiled.
You tend to jump around over there quite a bit when a call like that comes in.
Yeah, he does.
And then we automatically will look to you if there's anything further, and then I looked over, you said, nothing.
I simply got it just in case we needed some facts. We didn't, because we covered them all, and now we're done.
Now, when we're done, do you go in the other room and just lock the door, beat your head against the wall, and go,
no.
I should have gone with the Chinese story. Why didn't I go with the Chinese story?
Well, I might.
You know, this would all be avoided if you would just take Don's advice and make up the entire newscast.
Yeah.
All fictitious stories just made up.
I understand the bind you're in. We do a show that airs late in the day, when most of the major news has already happened.
That's true.
Right? So make something up.
Okay.
But make something up about Kenny Rogers today.
Okay.
Make something up good about Kenny Rogers today. Make that your lead story.
Kenny Rogers was at a dinner and his pants fell down.
There's your story.
And in his pants was a Kenny Rogers roaster.
I'll say this, it didn't get a lot of play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Chinese guy, his pants falling down.
That's true.
Because they kept the tape quiet.
Yes,
and C-SPAN is having a huge debate now over whether they're going to run it or not.
You know, that sucks. I think that's not fair because I didn't hear about that because they are keeping it quiet. And when George Bush was over there with the Japanese people and threw up on the table, I mean, that was like on every side. This is major material.
Well, you're talking Japanese penis, though.
Yes.
I mean, the guy, and nobody's goofing on this.
See, Japanese or Chinese?
What's the difference? The guy didn't have underpants on.
Almost gave me the real answer.
Korean.
He was Korean?
He was a Korean artist.
Right.
65.
Like I said, same thing.
65-year-old guy.
65. Yeah. So it was a dried arrangement.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Kevin?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you got it up?
I'm ready.
All right, let's try it. And this time, hold the speaker, or rather, hold the phone, please, just a little closer to the speaker.
A little closer.
All right, we'll just get a taste of Magic Johnson. And then tomorrow, we'll have the transcript reading.
For your support and...
Don't make me cry. Stop.
Because, so many times I was here with you, and you're the only reason why I'm here.
Really. Thank you.
The timing is so good. You can hear that incredible timing.
And I got to put him on hold. I'm sorry. It doesn't translate good on the telephone.
Yeah, you got to have the real audio.
Tomorrow, like I say, tonight we're going to tape it, and then tomorrow we'll have the audio, and we will go back and read it as it is.
Ha, 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 ha.
Hello,
yeah.
Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, you guys are listening to that Magic Johnson tape. I wondered if you crapped your pants about it yet.
If we have crap, no, I haven't made yet.
Pretty much, you crapped your pants.
Excuse me. None of us. We have not crapped our pants.
I certainly turned the tape on. You're not lying to me. You crapped your pants.
No, we did not. Buzz,
no,
did you?
The damn radio. It's so smelly. It's smelly because you crapped them.
Don, did you crap your pants?
I think I might have, Mike.
Oh, dear. He's right.
Yeah. All right.
The caller's right.
You're damn right.
Right. Robbie, go to the office and get me a clean pair of underpants, please.
Crap your pants.
I crap my pants. I don't even know what that guy was talking about.
I have a scary feeling. I want to tell you who that guy might have been.
Who?
That might have been the Bob Dole guy. Calling back on speed dial. That might have been the Bob Dole
guy. You think so?
Yeah.
Could have been.
Had that same kind of rhythm to what he was saying with the crap your pants.
But that guy's unable. Like George McFly's unable to do anything except rhyme. Isn't that guy unable to call our show unless he was Bob Dole?
I don't know.
Bob Dole says you crap your pants. Bob Dole, crap your pants.
I
bet Bob Dole craps his pants.
Damn, Remy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm calling from Portland, Maine. I've got a number for you to call.
Really?
Very interesting. 207.
No, no, hold on.
Don't give a number out on national radio. Please
okay.
Tell us, what is it a number two?
It's a number...
I said number two.
That seems to be a theme this segment.
Oh, I just crapped my pants again.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
Okay. It's a number two... health, mainly mental health, and it gives descriptions of previous illnesses or the side effects or signs of.
Which one are you suffering from?
None of them.
You're sure?
Right.
Positive.
Listen, thank you. We don't need the help. We'll come up with all the bits we can on our own.
There's a fax number.
And incidentally, one more thing. You crapped your pants.
Yeah?
Yes, you did. Check. Go ahead.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hey, Baldy.
What's going on?
Hey, my friend.
Hey, about Kathy C this morning?
Yeah.
I saw that recap of that Spice Girl thing.
Why are you talking like this?
Did you notice that? I've been going around talking like Al and Victor ain't Al Nipple Victor ain't if I can't get off.
Oh, is that what you're trying to do?
Is that what you're doing?
Hey, buddy. Hey, this is Al Nipple.
And I'm Victor Anus.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Two for the road right now.
Oh, dear. What a shame. We both crapped our pants. Terribly sorry, audience. Oh, that's it. Isn't that a sticky wicket?
Yes.
If you crap your pants and you go home and you get a Monica, is that like a latent bumpkin?
Oh, come on now. Come on, what did you call for?
I just wanted to, I saw the Spice Girl thing yesterday.
Yeah, she replayed it today. She was so embarrassed. I watched a little of that today when she's on with Stephen Baldwin, the dumbest of the Baldwin brothers.
I don't even watch it when Regis isn't there.
It was so awful. You know, all he does is he comes up to her and he tells the first story to get him in, like, Flynn with everything. He says, I was talking to a cab driver who said, you are so beautiful, and saw you doing the Spice Girls thing and said, you are so beautiful. And you know already, he's set for the show. I mean, he is set for the show. He doesn't have to do anything more. And then she said, well, do we have that tape? So she wants to see herself.
Hey, come on. She's proud of it. Look at her.
And she comes out with those little chicken legs of hers.
She's an old bag, man. She looks pretty good.
Hey, guys, we're loving you in Spokane.
Thank you, my friend.
Take it easy.
And I got it, you know, once again, seeing it today. When I do it. No, you might. I would
yes,
love
I would.
You to see that tape because she had a different look. Looking at it a second time, she came out and she tried to be sexy. And she failed miserably because she couldn't, she had no way of moving, and she had these little, this is the way she danced when she was up there. She came out, I really analyzed it today, her little Spice Girls dress, and she came out and she was...
This is Kathy Lee.
She was dancing. And she
had like Elaine from Seinfeld.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible, and she was wearing this little slinky blue dress, and her, you know, her breasts looked good.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
That's all I look at. Hello. And her face. She got a cute face. Right? But you don't have the face. Hello, Don and Mike.
I can't believe you guys are making fun of crap in your pants. All right?
Hello?
Is that the same guy?
The boob doll guy or something? You crapped your pants.
Wait, you know what? The guy's on two lines. The guy's got two telephones.
Is he really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. I got a German news story for you.
I hung up on him on one line, and he was there on the next line.
That's scary.
I say That's a rookie error from Christine on the phones in the other room. You got to listen to people's voices, Christine.
Yes, on this show it's essential.
Hello.
Hello.
Otherwise you crap your pants.
I got a story about a German zookeeper.
A zookeeper?
Yeah, he was an elephant trainer, and evidently the elephant hadn't had a BM in a couple of days.
Hold on, let me stop you right there. Buzz, this wouldn't be a story that you're guarding for tonight's news.
No, I have a different elephant story.
Hi, this is Werner Klemperer, and I'm aware of the fact that the elephant has not had a BM.
However, Colonel Clank has crapped this bear.
Oh, I was looking the other day, and I've noticed something horrible. I've crapped my pants.
So anyway, the guy fed the elephant 22 doses of laxative, it says here in the paper, and a bushel of berries. Went back to give the elephant an enema, and it blew up and knocked him down, and he hit his head on a rock, and it knocked him out. And then he got buried under 200 pounds of elephant crap, suffocated to death.
Where are you calling from? What newspaper is that in?
It was in a German newspaper. A buddy of mine sent it to me.
Oh, my God. What a way to die.
Yeah, his name was Friedrich something. He was the elder elephant trainer at this zoo.
First, I gave the elephant 20 pounds of laxative and a bushel of berries, and it was
I know nothing. Colonel Clink was covered with elephant dung.
I hit my head, fell backwards under 200 pounds of elephant crap, and then I suffocated. I suffocated, General Carter.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, great. Thank you.
Hey, by the way, great show, see?
Hey, see?
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 Great show, see?
See?
Yeah, elephant laxative, see?
Don't start that again, see? Bushel of berries, see?
I won't do that, see?
Oh. Like a river of elephant dung, see? Coming all over you, see?
Oh, man, hit my head on a rock, and fell unconscious and then suffocated under the elephant dung, see?
He's dead, see? Torpedoes. Elephant poo, see?
Torpedoes is what I need. Torpedo laxative, yeah, see?
See?
That's right, see?
See?
Take a powder. Take a laxative powder.
Okay, come on, why'd you call?
Did you guys see Penny Marshall last night sitting behind the bench?
Oh! I did. Good eye, sir.
Yeah.
Good eye. They didn't even identify her as a celebrity.
No.
The game?
Laverne, mm-hmm. You know, from Laverne and Shirley.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wearing, I think, a Dennis Rodman jersey, right?
Really?
Yeah.
And she was sitting next to the guy that directed As Good As It Gets.
Oh, okay. All right.
What's his name? James Brooks?
Yeah. Jim yes. Brooks. Is the guy with the beard? Big fat guy with the beard?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's not so much fat, but he's got the little wire-rimmed mm-hmm. glasses.
Right.
Yeah, and she looked like an idiot sitting there.
She was holding her Beanie Babies, I think.
Yeah, she had a weird hat that looked like a cow hat on.
Are you talking about Penny Marshall's breasts when you say her Beanie Babies?
Right.
Look at my Beanie Baby. That's what she calls him with James Brooks. Would you like to touch my Beanie Baby?
No, maybe in the third quarter. Maybe after I get something to eat.
Yeah.
Hey, Penny, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm pretty sure you just crapped your pants. Yeah, that was funny. They didn't even identify her. You know who else I saw sitting in the crowd last night was, speaking of, that who's that fat guy from Blues Traveler?
Oh, John Popper?
Yeah, he was sitting in the crowd also.
And he, of course, you know, you don't even need to say it.
You know, it's got to be a pleasure to go to a hot, muggy arena and know that for 3 hours,
right.
John Popper is sitting in front of you eating and drinking beer.
Yeah.
How would you like to be in the seat right behind that guy?
Yeah, directly in back of him, and he's what if you're in the middle of the row and he has to stand up every single time somebody goes by?
Excuse me. For sure. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello, this is the last call in the segment. We have to break. Hello.
Hey, guys. Augusto Del Grande.
Right.
Hey, I was wondering.
Hey, I like that self-satisfied laugh you had there. You like that?
Well, you know, sure. Gotta like something.
Sure, go ahead.
Sure.
All right, so say that, you know, that guy that found himself buried under 200 pounds of elephant crap, do you think he could have been helped out if he had that little first alert Nicholas Payne open that woman who she's falling in?
All right, shut up, you. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don't tell me they're just, like, letting the audience just stand out there like that. Oh, my God. Okay. So let's hurry, y'all. Seriously. This is retarded. They told me they were going to do a vamp. Oh, oh, no. What are they doing? Let me see. Oh, my pants are torn! I thought they were gonna. I know. Well, I'm just not gonna just stand out. I thought they were gonna vamp. Okay,
Okay, thanks. Hey, retarded. The Don and Mike
Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
All right, go give Kathy here. Where you live, Kathy?
I live in Sterling, Virginia.
Going to give Kathy the chance to win a prize for her son to be the official Blimpy bell ringer at the WWF Don't Trust Anybody Tour on May 2nd. Now, the question is, Kathy.
Yes.
You understand what we're going to do? We're going to call one of the phone hoes, and Mike is going to be President Clinton.
Right.
Although he's not going to be able to say
that he's president.
Right. I'm in the Oval Office.
Or that I'm working, for your country, and that I want to be a good president. I can't make any reference that would be obvious. I'm just going to be a guy.
If they ask your name could be William.
Right. I will say my name, William.
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 William. And the question that we have for you, Kathy, we'll start the clock on Mike. Do you think within 2 minutes the phone hole will say either, hey, this is President Clinton, or you're a guy pretending to be President Clinton?
Or will she say nothing?
I've heard Mike's impression, and I think
it's pretty right on.
Think that it she will know.
But will
she will say something.
She will. Okay, okay, within 2 minutes.
All right.
Hold on there, Kathy.
Okay.
Okay. No pressure, Mike.
I love it. I love it. People are wagering on you now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we'll be doing some more phone host stuff soon. We forgot to get Craig Klein dialing for transvestites.
He's out in the hallway.
Welcome to the Dateline Connection, sponsored by Saturn Communications.
Come on, let's move along.
As I say, you're on the air.
Are you tired of meeting people you have
you're on your own.
Come on. Well, here you can leave a personalized message for people to get in touch with you. Listen to other people's ads and meet the right mate for you.
Here we go.
You're under 18.
Sure,
wish to be billed just $2.99.
Come on, moving along, Doc.
Please hang up now.
Let's go.
Please hold on while we connect you.
All right,
here we go.
Billing begins 3 seconds after the tone.
President.
Hello.
All this music. Too much music.
Getting you turned on?
For calling the number one dateline in America.
Hey, don't sell me. I just want to get right to a hoe.
Where's my hoe?
And find that special someone. You can record your own voice personal or listen to messages left by others.
How do we talk to a live phone home?
Special someone
who do you have to sleep with? Who do you have to sleep with to get a hoe?
The opportunity to tell where you want to meet people. What kind of person you want to
come
meet.
On, come on.
You can even get your very own voicemail.
Hello. How are you?
And leave messages just for you. And you never have to get out your home phone number or address.
I never took this long with Monica.
Criminy.
Listen to any of the thousands of recordings.
I don't want
for a system overview, press 1.
Yeah. Hello. I want a home. A live girl.
Oh, not this again.
This is America's best and most exciting dateline.
You promised me a home. I'm getting very frustrated.
Let me call another one.
I'm sitting by. You know, and I just want to make sure that I get a real, live, lovely, luscious lady. That's what I'm standing by for.
Of course.
Now that you have surrendered complete control of your manhood to me, wildest dreams come true.
I don't surrender control to anybody.
I now have over you will only continue if you are 18 years or older, and you are willing to pay for my provocative services.
Yes, I will.
Sponsored by LiveWire.
I'll pay good money.
$2.99 to $5.99.
Your money.
Yeah, taxpayer money.
Your money.
Stupid president.
Hey, not Homer.
I am very pretty and sexy, and just a little bit horny and ready to talk to you.
I'm very pretty and sexy.
Your selection at any time.
Here we go.
Please choose one of the following services currently available to you at any time.
Here we go.
You can press the number 2 on your telephone in order to talk to both my burning hot sister and me at the same time for multiple orgasms. $5.99 per minute.
All right.
We now offer 2 exciting 2-on-1 choices.
2-on-1?
To speak to a pair of sexy girls, press 1.
Christmas came
early. In order to receive the hottest service available, we need your authorization. So, at the tone, please say your first name, and I am authorized to make this phone call.
Go ahead, William.
William, and I am authorized to make this call. Come on. Come on.
Thank you, sexy.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you, sexy.
Man, that is so
You'll
cool.
be billed just $5.99 per minute for that selection.
I want to talk to the tape.
Please hold on while we connect you.
Here
we
go.
The cost of this call includes a $1.99 service connection.
I don't care.
President.
Hey, stop
it, begins 3 seconds after the tone.
Come on.
Never got to go tell them they're on the air.
All right.
Here we go. And we'll start the clock when they say hello.
Hey, I like this. Is this Earl Klug? All right, jazz guitar, man. Where's the saxophone? I can't say that, can I?
No, that would be kind of a giveaway.
Okay, I gotta be very careful.
Gotta be just a regular, horny guy.
Talking about sex.
Like Clinton.
Talking about you and me. Let's talk about sex. I guess it's taking you a long time to get the two girls together.
Who cares? I like just hearing you talk while we're at home.
I'm really... Can I tell you?
Yes, William.
Can I tell you, I am really looking forward to my two-on-one.
William.
My two-on-one for William.
William. Hey, if this goes any slower, I'm going to have to bring out your African drums that you were playing.
All right, I'll do that wipeout for me. Fantastic. You want to hear those? Yeah. I'm rocking now, all right? Good day for me. Don't you wish you were me. Fantastic.
Lost name
drop.
Hello. Donna, my show, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Samantha. What's your name?
My name is William.
Oh, William.
How are you, Samantha? You sound like a very, very charming girl.
Well, thank you, William.
You sound like a very hot girl, a very exciting girl. I love girls. I don't mind telling you. I think you sound like just a fantastic girl.
Look at you, William. Aren't you a charmer?
I'm a very charming man. You'll find that my charms are very hard to resist. Oh. I'm a super charmer. Yes, I am. I'm super charmed. It's great to talk to you. Did you say your name was Samantha?
Yes.
Oh, you're a hot girl, Samantha, aren't you? Talk to me, Samantha. Would you like to hear what I look like?
Well, why don't you go right ahead, then. I have no problem.
I'm incredibly good looking. I'm one of the best looking men you'll ever find.
You could really describe yourself.
I bet you are.
I'm tall. I have gray hair. I look great in a suit. I'm just a hot looking man, and I'm very athletic. What?
You're William.
We have two girls here. William? Yeah, it's me. It's
yeah,
William. How are you?
I'm fine.
What's your name? Are you the other girl?
I'm Lolita.
Lolita and Samantha. I'll tell you, I've hit pay dirt here. I don't mind telling you. I am so excited to talk to both of you. Where are y'all from?
Oh, wow.
Where are y'all from? You sound, don't be shy. There's no need to be shy. I'm just standing by looking forward to talking to you. Don't be shy, Lolita. Where are you from, Lolita?
My family's originally from New York.
What?
My family's originally from New York.
Oh, New York, yes. New York City.
Yeah, and the island.
Yeah, the island. Long Island?
Yes.
That's great, Lolita. How about you, Samantha? Where are you from?
Oh, hey, I'm up here. I'm virgin. I was born in Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago, the Windy City. That's great. It's a great city. Makes me sexy thinking about the Windy City. Absolutely. I don't mind telling you. Lolita and Samantha. Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, we're ready to party.
Oh.
It didn't work.
Kathy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You heard it. It was like 2 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Know.
I'm afraid
it
they were...
like they were going to do it at all.
They were simply too stupid.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, maybe... I don't know. Maybe next time we're going to have to let you give some clues.
All right. You just tell me and nod your head, and I'd be happy to give Samantha and Lolita a clue.
But if we said, like, the Oval Office, that's too apparent, right?
You know, what if I was to say, I'm a very powerful man?
All right, good.
I'm very powerful.
All right, let's try it one more.
Get the guy from Jethro.
Hey, listen, Kathy?
Yes.
For your son?
Yes.
To help those tears he'll shed, a junior bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's.
Okay.
Wendy's drive-thru window open till 1 a.m. Thanks. And hold on, Kathy. Hold on.
Sorry, Kathy.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed my two-on-one.
Who's our next contestant? Oh, we got Russ, the guy from Bowie, Maryland, who's 38.
Russell, the love muscle.
Russ?
Yeah.
Russ?
Yes.
Now, the guy from Sacramento told us that you aren't really a wrestling fan because it's Sting, not Scorpion.
I think there is Sting, but they're all Scorpion. He was a little older wrestler.
Well, are you a fan? Are you a big fan?
As you kind of clued in, yeah, as embarrassing as it is to admit, I am.
It's embarrassing to admit.
Okay.
And also, I don't know if this helps, but the celebrity I most resemble is Quasimodo.
Quasimodo, the bell ringer.
There you go.
All right, we'll give you a chance here. Now, Russ, same deal. I'll give you the option. Do you want President Clinton or another one of my crazy voices? I like the Clinton myself. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm partial to the Clinton. Now, I just got to clear, are we going to give them clues? Or?
Well, now...
Wait, I mean, if it's not going well, I'll throw in the powerful man.
How about after 1 minute?
After 1 minute? You tell me when it's 1 minute.
I'll give you a high sign at 1 minute.
Okay.
Then I'll give you another sign at a minute 30.
All right.
Okay, so you can give them a clue in a minute, and then if they're really duds like those two were, then you can throw another clue.
Okay, very good.
So the question for you, Russ, with the new parameters, do you think in 2 minutes... that Mike will stump the hoe?
I believe they will not ask if it's President Clinton.
So you believe Mike will stump another hoe?
I believe so. I think that they're no match for him.
All right. You know, Russ, hold on. We got to do a break. We'll do that when we come right back.
2-on-1.
All right, Russ. Russ is our guy, our contestant right now, trying to ring the bell at WWF Wrestling. Oh, and you know what? When we gave that lady the cheeseburger for her kid, I forgot everybody that plays the game and doesn't win gets tickets to go to WWF.
Oh, okay. They can't ring the bell, but they get to go to the wrestling match.
Right. And they'll get that besides the cheeseburger.
Excellent.
Cool. Because we've got no budget. Russ, now, your guess is that in 2 minutes, the phone hose will not identify Mike as President Clinton.
You are correct, sir.
All right. Thank you. Hold on, Russ.
That's a challenge.
You dial it up right now, and we're going to let Mike give a hint at 1 minute.
At 1 minute or within the 1 minute? I can't say, like, right out of the chute.
No.
I'm a very powerful man.
You got to let it go a minute.
All right,
and then you can have a clue.
I'm wearing a dress right now.
And then in a minute 30, you can have another clue.
My name is Dolores. I'm wearing pumps. How are you?
All right, I'm going to try a different phone home number.
I sure am horny.
We're playing Stump the Hoe.
Stump the Hoe.
Stump the Hoe.
Is this going to be another 2-on-1?
No, I called a different one. This one is...
Welcome, lover.
Welcome, lover.
Hi, lover.
You want to play with my wet knob, don't you?
Oh, my. Play with her what?
Oh, wet knob.
Baby, love it.
My God.
All night.
Oh, my God.
The charge of only $4.99 per minute will
be the same. This is
exciting. Oh. Wet knob.
Boy, oh, boy.
As USID Entertainment.
Wet knob.
18 years or older.
I think that's a tiny town in Arkansas.
Please let's be connected.
Welcome to Wet Knob, population 430. Saturday night in Wet Knob.
Hold on, we missed what we have to do.
Ooh, is that the fairy godmother?
And wildside with international girls so nasty they've been banned in the United States.
Yeah, baby.
Call 011-67.
I don't want another commercial.
Come on, how do we get a girl?
011.
I want a hot live girl.
873791.
Come on.
Where you can talk to girls from around the world who know that you're looking for connection and are ready to give it to you.
I'm trying to press any button.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I'm looking for love.
You can make your selection at any time during this message.
Here we
go. Press the star key at any time to leave a selection and hear these selections again. Press 1 for private one-on-one sessions.
That's what I want.
There you go.
One-on-one private session.
We'll be connected to a girl.
Oh, boy.
Don't forget, I'll tell her she's on the air.
My palms are sweating.
And then you will have 2 minutes.
Very good.
2 minutes to make it happen.
How about this sexy music? I'm in the mood for love. What am I telling you?
Press 1 to talk one-on-one with hot and horny.
Come on.
No, move.
Stupid president.
Come on.
Hello?
Huh?
Donna Mike Show, you're on the air.
Stupid president.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who are you?
I'm Tracy.
You heard that tape.
Tracy.
Yeah?
How are you?
What stupid president?
What are you talking about?
You. You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. Is your name Tracy?
Yeah.
That's a very pretty name. I'm William Tracy.
Hi.
I like you already. You sound like fun. Are you a fun girl?
Yeah. Are you a fun guy?
I'm a very fun guy. I'm one of the funnest guys you'll ever meet in the whole wide world. My middle name is Fun, Tracy. I know a lot of people, and I have fun all the time.
Yeah.
How are you doing, darling?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. It's so nice to talk to you. Are you are you sexy, Tracy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sexy.
I'm very sexy. I'm one of the sexiest men alive.
Hey, what?
I really am.
What state are you in?
I'm in the state of Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah? That's cool.
And I'm a very powerful man, Tracy.
Sorry.
Yes, I am.
Ooh, can I come out there and see you sometime?
Sure you can. You stop by anytime you want. I'd love to see you. Would you come to Washington to see me?
Hey, you know what my middle name is?
What's that?
Monica.
Monica. Well, why do you say that? Why are you saying Monica, Tracy?
I'm Tracy Monica. Don't you like my name?
Why would I like your name?
Wow, you said it was pretty.
30 seconds.
Why would I like your name Monica, though, Tracy? Tell me that.
I don't know.
Tell me why I would like your name. Please, Tracy, for God's sake, tell me why I would like your name Monica.
Because I'm hot.
Well, you're hot. Oh, I'm do you really think I'm hot? Hot?
I'm really hot.
Do you like powerful men?
Yeah, I do.
All right, why do you think I know the name Monica?
I don't know. I don't think you do. I think that's my middle name.
That's your middle name. Okay, well, I like the name Monica. You know I do.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
She didn't want to say it. She wanted to give the little hint, but she didn't want to come out and say it.
Now, Russ,
yeah.
Because she did not, and you can't say that you didn't give her every opportunity there.
I gave her. I was trying to work her on the Monica angle. As soon as I got that, I held on to it.
Now, hey, Russ.
Yes, sir.
You predicted that the phone hole would not know, right?
You can always tell them the stupid ones.
And will not say anything. And yes, Russ, you've won the opportunity. You will be the official Blimpy Bell ringer.
Wow. Congratulations, Russ.
Beautiful.
At WWF for their Don't Trust Anybody Tour May 2nd, you'll walk onto the floor with the first two wrestlers competing that night.
All right.
And then ring the bell to begin the matches. You'll be ringing in the new WWF Tour in UFA Arena, courtesy of Blimpy Subs and Salads and the WWF.
How do you feel about that, Russ?
I'm like too excited for words.
Beautiful.
All right.
Congratulations.
Thanks for the radio, eh?
I bet you were getting nervous there for a minute when she said Monica, huh?
You know, when the tape first started and she heard that president part, but I knew she couldn't.
You know, I normally press the button so that they can't hear the tapes, and I had one button the wrong way, and I thought it was going to be...
I thought that gave me a leg up, but I like Lolita and Samantha better.
listen, Russ, you win the bell ringing, and all of the other folks that are on hold, we'll give them all tickets to the same WWF show.
Excellent.
All right, now you want
to... Talk to the obligatory person who says that the guy really lost.
Oh, really?
Hello?
Hey, Don, Mike.
We always get these calls. Hello?
Yeah, I know it's a stupid game, but look, man, she already associated, whether it's fun or whatever, she associated, like Monica.
She did not specifically say, is this Bill Clinton or are you pretending to be Bill Clinton?
That's right, and that was really the way it was spelled out. That's why I was working her so hard, and that was the challenge of the game, to get her to say President Clinton in some way.
Oh, she's going to say that and say, yeah, I got a lawsuit too, yeah.
No, she could have busted Mike. She could have said...
She said, you sound like President Clinton.
Or she could have said, you're pretending to be President Clinton. Or, this isn't President Clinton. Or, you really are President Clinton.
Absolutely. Right. And she didn't say that once during the conversation, and that's why... Believe me, sir, nobody wanted her to say it more than I did.
Well, nobody's going to say it.
Nobody's going to say
it? No, play your game. Then nobody's going to say...
I tell you, why don't you go get a radio show, and I'll call you up and harass
you. Yeah, big boy.
Yeah, big boy. Yeah, F you.
I like that idea.
Yeah, big boy.
F you.
Boy. And F your families, too.
Hey, F you.
It's not going to be a controversy.
What's his problem?
Now let's talk about the game.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I reached for the thin fabric band that held the ballooning cuffs of her halter together, hooked my fingers over it, and tugged. It snapped easily. Her halter sprang apart, and out bounded her joyously unconfined breasts. Dual prize packages of rounded richness. Twin curved cones of bouncing fun flesh. Matched mountains of youthful, tanned, quivering, exciting femininity. Titanic orbs of temptation. Happy hemispheres of lust. Jaunty, jiggling rotundities of passion. In a phrase, my kind of breasts.
The Don and Mike Show. Right above Buzz Burbank's parking spot, the Don and Mike Show.
We've got a new announcer.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a bunch of tapes and ended up getting a guy that I know. And I know Mike knows him also.
That's right.
This guy,
so much work.
He's on all kinds of radio stations and TV stations.
That's right.
And he used to be a disc jockey.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be part of Dude and Doug.
Yeah, people that have been in Washington for a long time will remember the Dude and Doug show.
And when I worked at WPGC, which is a station here in D.C., back like in 1979... dude worked on the other station and was the much hated competition, but we always kept it kind of a secret that, that we were friends because we were supposed to hate each other. But he was a really good guy.
It was Dude Walker and Doug Limerick, who's now with ABC News.
Now, let me see if I can bring him up here. Hey, dude.
Hey.
Hey, there he is.
There's Dude Walker, everybody.
There's one of those voices. You can recognize that voice.
Yeah.
Give me some of your...
How are you guys?
Hey, we're great. Let me hear some of your stuff, like, on Fox 5.
On Fox 5.
Yeah. Any good, like, any good?
Sure. 10 o'clock news. News Channel 2.
He's real good with that. Dude, when did you decide that you'd had enough of being a disc jockey and that you could... actually make a comfortable living by just doing these slogans for stations? How long ago did you give up being a DJ?
They didn't really come together. Deciding I could be making money doing this stuff didn't come at the same time that I didn't really get along with radio, you know? Mm. You remember in the mid-80s, the music started to change, and, you know, it just wasn't comfortable to be a DJ anymore.
So now look
so
at
that's
you.
About when I decided to get out.
And what a life this guy.
The only thing I did well was use my voice.
What a life you have now. He lives up like in his compound up by Baltimore, where he doesn't ever have to leave the house because he does everything with satellite.
Are you in your underwear right now, dude?
I'm, yeah, these are my, my Wednesday underwear.
Yeah. Well, listen, welcome to the show. We're so glad that you're with us. We're really big fans of yours, and I know that dude will give us just the type of read that we're looking for, because being as I know him, I know he will say anything.
Sure!
So, gotta say I'm a fan of yours, too. Have been for an embarrassingly long time. You're about all I can listen to in the afternoon. There's no other radio.
The dude's a good guy. And where was it that I saw you on vacation, man? Do you remember that a long time ago, like 10 years ago?
That was Jamaica.
In Jamaica.
Ah, yeah. Jamaica, man.
I hear from behind me, hey,
hey.
And I turn around, a little skinny guy, go, hey.
Yeah.
Who are you? And you shave now, right? Didn't you used to have like one of those Harry Blackstone goatees or something?
That's right. I had a Charlie Van Dyke type beard.
Yeah.
And I shaved that off so I could look respectable.
These guys, man, I'd say, we love talking to the announcers on this show because it just, I mean, you work for so many different people, and we're really happy to have you working for us.
So it's definitely my financial pleasure.
Well, let's get right to it, dude. We have 25 bumpers.
Uh-huh.
And I guess what we'll do is we'll just go through this with you live.
Sure.
I heard you practicing some of them, and you know the delivery we want, just your standard, you know, Dude Walker delivery.
I guess so. It's embarrassing. I kind of know what some of these are about because I've listened. So.
Oh, well, good.
But
that's
some of
good.
Them I don't.
That'll help you.
Well, we will help explain. Do you understand?
Like, this one here. What's the, they're the butch in your itty dream.
Okay.
What's that?
Itty dream is what Elvis used to call ice cream, and butch is what he used to call chocolate milk. Chocolate milk in your ice cream, butch in your itty dream. Let's start with number one, dude.
Okay, here
now,
we go.
Do you understand this one?
Yes, sort of. I'd say, like I said, it's embarrassing. I do understand a lot of these.
But why don't you just dive in?
Okay, here you go. Dude Walker, cut one, everybody.
Only they can untangle a complicated farmer's knot. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
This guy great?
Yeah. Perfect.
I tell you, this guy's okay, man. Okay, number two. That was great. One take. Number two, self-explanatory. I know you'll knock it right out.
Rooting hard for Buzz Burbank's sphincter, the Don and Mike Show.
That's the first time you've ever been immortalized with a bumper, Buzz.
That's there true. It is.
Wow. All right.
Nice glasses, Buzz.
Now,
I listened yesterday.
Hey, Rob, will you find me the tape with the lady talking about her time of the month? Because that's the best way to help dude on this one. On number three. Okay, dude, listen to this tape.
And she was saying that she was 2 weeks pregnant. And I didn't believe it because when you're just two weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen your menstruation.
Menstruation.
They can help you with your menstruation.
Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Ladies, they can help you with your menstruation. Don and Mike.
It's such a goof. It is such a goof to have a real announcer doing these.
This is
fantastic.
Great.
All right. Well, you got this one, though. Number four.
Yeah, here we go.
They'll make you laugh until you soil the yellow dress. Don and Mike.
A little tribute to that big low Joey.
Sure, that's a good idea.
All right. Now, on number five, when you say program, we like it pronounced
program.
Program the, oh, way, yes, the, like, way the way older people say it.
And
well, or David Letterman does.
Sure.
It's a program.
Now, when we were doing this last week, we were talking about this guy at ESPN that decided he didn't want me to be on ESPN this year, called me ribald, and I don't know, what is the pronunciation? Is it ribald?
It's supposed to be ribald, isn't it?
See, that's what I thought,
I've heard
too.
Ribald, I've heard ribald. Is there a pronunciation in the dictionary?
I'll check. I've always heard ribald also.
Ribald or ribald.
All right, let's move past number five while we wait on the pronunciation, and let's go to the one about the butch and your itty tream.
Well, are there two ways to pronounce itty tream?
No, itty tream is just...
Itty tream is okay. The way Elvis would want you to pronounce it, dude.
As long as we don't have to look this one up. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
They're the Butch in your itty dream, Don and Mike.
This is probably the greatest honor that I've ever had in my life.
Thank you, Elvis.
You got the pronunciation there, Buzz?
Either one is correct. The first choice is ribald.
Ribald?
Really?
Mm. Yeah, I've heard ribaldry. Tales of ribaldry.
Yes.
Ribaldry.
Ribald.
Sounds very, well, it goes with program, I guess.
All right, do it the ribald way.
Okay. So we'll go program and ribald.
How did right. the guy All that right. told you, what did he? How did he pronounce it?
He said ribald.
Ribald.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a program that's delightfully ribald. The Don and Mike Show.
Great. Great. I love this behind-the-scenes stuff. See, this is what we would be doing if we came into work a couple hours early. We'd
sure.
be sitting in the studio with dude just like we're doing right now.
You like to do everything.
And why do that when you've got a four-hour show to fill?
Yay! Yeah, perfect. All right, number seven, self-explanatory. Number seven.
Okay. They're ready to get your freak on, Don and Mike.
Okay. Number eight, this also self-explanatory.
They are the Visine in your steak dinner, the Don and Mike Show.
Don't forget, that's how they food poisoned Michael Jordan before yeah. that game in Utah.
All right.
Okay. Number nine. All right, this is not the funniest one, but go ahead.
Kathleen Turner's personal voice coaches. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Very good.
God, man, you got some balls, dude.
Man, that's incredible. Do you have to, like, have a separate room for him or something like that?
And you should see him. He's not as tiny as Paul Turner.
But okay. he's still a thin. So are you still thin? You haven't gotten fat, have you?
No, not really, no. I've gained a little weight. You know, age does that, but no, I'm fine.
Okay.
Okay, number 10. Oh, self-explanatory. This is another one that has to do with Elvis.
Listening to them is better than cutting loose in a girl's hair. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, God. This is a really good batch, isn't it? Number 11. And if you could do this like you would if you were doing one of your promos like for Geraldo or something, you know where you get real dramatic?
Right.
Okay.
America's favorite hate mongers. The Don and Mike Show.
Beautiful. That's just like the 10 o'clock news.
I like that one.
That's a good one, dude. All right. Number 12, we don't need that one. Okay?
All right.
That one's no good. Number 13.
Okay, here we go.
Gotcha.
With friends like them, who needs enemas? Don and Mike.
Perfect. See, enemas?
I love it.
It should be enemies, but we changed it to enemas.
Bada bing!
You need water up your butt.
There you go.
All right, number 14. And listen, I heard you doing a real good read on this when you were practicing before we went on the air. So, same way.
Anything with more than a couple of syllables in each word, I have to practice in advance, so that's why I was doing that.
No, but you did a real refined reading of it.
Okay, let's see what I can do.
Okay.
Gleefully trumpeting general disrespect through their spigots of filth, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, I like it. It's punchy. I like it.
Oh, these would be good. That's a good change, actually. Okay, number 15. Let her rip.
Born from the loins of our motherland, Don and Mike.
Very good. And tribute to Major Bill Smith and his letter to the Queen of England.
All right. I'm your Royal Majesty. All right. Number 16.
Okay.
Broadcasting nationwide to both turd and tard alike, the Don and Mike Show.
Very good.
Do you ever disc jockey anymore, dude, at all, or do you?
I really don't. I don't think I know how to do it anymore.
Wow.
I did a promo today for a band down in actually it's a nationwide band, but it was a radio station in North Carolina, and the band is 311.
Yeah.
And I call them 311. Oh, I've forgotten what they were called.
Yeah. Oh man, it makes you feel old, doesn't it?
Yeah, really, I feel real old.
Did they call you back and say, "Listen, old man, it's not 311"?
Yeah, you know, the guys are like 18 when they call you. Yeah.
Can you do this, Oliver? All right, number 17. You can either do this in your regular voice, or if you got like an Austin Powers thing. Either way.
Okay, we'll see what happens here.
Okay.
Make you horny? Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Perfect.
Perfect.
That's flawless.
Perfect.
All right. Number 19.
You want to skip over 18?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Please, okay. 18. How could I forget that one? It's the new one we're stuck on.
How could you forget about this one?
Forget about it.
Forget about it. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
And I tell you what.
I love that one. If I had my brain and this guy's voice, I wouldn't be in this room right now. I'd be somewhere else.
That's true.
You're great. Number 19.
America's leading producers of top quality butt sweat. Don and Mike.
Very good.
Except for you, Buzz.
Yeah.
You know, Buzz doesn't have butt sweat.
Dry as a bone.
20. I think you're going to like this one. Number 20.
The show that's dripping with hideous leavings, Don and Mike.
That's a good batch.
These are good. These are choice.
All right, 21.
Mike Douglas makes them moist, Don and Mike.
Okay, we're almost to the end. 22. 22.
Smooth, mild, and mellow, and easy on the throat. The Don and Mike Show.
Very good. A tribute to Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah. Now, this is what I'm really going to enjoy. With a slight pause after the dot, dot, dot. Number 23.
Tune in. Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Tune in and enjoy the taste of my wife, Maxine, Don and Mike.
All right. Number 24. This one, number 24, I dedicate to my friend Mike O'Mara.
Very good.
Rich with the goodness of blood and cheese, the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, God. That was for you, Mike.
Lovely.
And number 25, self-explanatory. And this is the one that when we were talking like to Bill Wendell, the guy who used to be on Letterman Show.
Sure.
This is the one that none of the other announcers wanted to do. Thank goodness, thank goodness you have no morals, dude.
I just see words. I don't know what they say.
There you go.
Here we go.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Beautiful.
Bravo!
Beautiful.
Good job.
Fantastic. Hey, that's great. Now, you are going to be available and on call anytime we get a nutty idea?
Pretty much so, yeah.
Okay.
You know, a little advance notice might be nice, but if you know, get inspired, let's see what we can do.
Okay. Hey, dude, a pleasure to have you associated with the show. Sure. We're so proud, and thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I loved it.
All right. Bye-bye.
See you soon.
Bye-bye. Well, there he goes.
Oh, that's great. That's a lot of fun. And, you know, being a former DJ, I think you brought a little new flavor to it that sounded real good.
Yeah, so we had to replace Paul Turner, and I think Dude Walker's good. Those are going to sound pretty good. I know there'd be a lot of people out there who probably can't even tell the difference between those two guys' voices, but their inflection and stuff,
yeah.
While it's kind of similar, Dude's got a sound all his own.
Yeah, he's got a very unique sound. That's why he's used all over the country and nationally, and we're very excited to have him on the show.
It was real funny when I was friends with him a long time ago, like in 1979, because we would get together and have lunch and stuff.
Right.
And we would have to actually go somewhere and hide.
Yeah.
You know, like we're having an affair. Because they would be real mad at Q107 if they found out that he was socializing
with me. It's war. You're having lunch with the enemy.
Sure. And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about it.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I miss you.
Yeah, you should. You never come see me.
I've been busy.
Everybody's busy. And don't lie to me. I know your father forbids your coming down here.
He doesn't, honest. He just doesn't want us to talk about you in the house.
Well, you can go shit in his hat. Oh, I shouldn't use that kind of talk. Don't let me ever catch you talking that way.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Mike, was Adolf Hitler left-handed or right-handed?
I'm going to say left-handed.
Mike, Hitler was right-handed.
Yeah, well, I guess that's, hence the hand up in the air.
Did Hitler part his hair on the left or the right?
On the left.
Parted on the right.
Oh, man. I'm not good with Hitler trivia.
How many balls did Adolf Hitler have?
One.
Yes.
I just figured he'd be, he'd be down a quart with being crazy and all.
Yeah. How about Napoleon? How many balls did he have?
Five.
You're right again.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you very much. Why do you think he kept his hand in his shirt?
Both Hitler and Napoleon each only had one gonad.
Really?
Wow. And that Hitler trivia comes to us courtesy of The Rocky Mountain News.
Really? Yeah. Way to go. I went to college with a guy that had three. We called him Tri-Ball.
Wow.
Seriously, that was his name.
Really?
He bragged about it, too. He used to like to say he has three. And
did you ever see him?
No, never did. Never actually
I wouldn't believe that.
Him.
I've never heard of that in my travels, a tri-baller.
Said he was tri-ball, and I took the word of some of my fraternity brothers that he was indeed tri-ball.
Didn't we have a woman one time on the show who said that she had three nipples?
Yes.
Or maybe a woman who had maybe four nipples?
Mm-hmm. That happens occasionally. I guess three happens quite a bit, really.
Yeah, I'd like to have a multi-nipple show. That would be a good show.
Mm. Yeah, a little sex freak show.
Just a show with girls. Or guys. I guess guys do, with lots of nipples.
I was watching a show on the Learning Channel the other night, which incidentally, more and more, I am finding myself landing on the Learning Channel. It was called Freaks, and it was about freak shows, and the last of it was how the monkey girl married the alligator
man. That's a repeat. I've seen that one.
Fantastic show. Really, really. And apparently there's a movie floating around that they made in the 30s that was banned because it was so controversial called Freaks. And the movie is a cult classic, and I would give anything to get my hands on that movie.
Freaks and carry your luggage up to the room. Robbie, you know something about that?
Yeah, it's directed by Todd Browning. I don't think it's in circulation. You can sometimes catch it in, like, an art house.
Did you shave again?
Yeah, I trimmed real short. Doesn't it look good?
You shaved since the beginning of the show?
Just now. No, of course not. This morning.
All right. He's smooth.
Who the hell knows what you were just talking about? Who is Todd Browning?
Freaks, the movie from the 1930s, and you can't get it anymore. They show that at one point that the freaks were under this carnival wagon,
yeah.
And they're attacking this guy, and they're all like crawling through the mud and stuff, and it was so freaky, but it looked great.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, you know, when I was on hold, it wasn't that I was calling about this, but I have a friend that has six nipples and webbed feet.
Oh! I would love to get a show with all those people together. That would be a great show.
A freak show.
But, Don, the reason I called, man, you have been busting my chops all week. You are the Judge Judy of the radio waves this week, my friend.
I take that as a true compliment. I'll tell you this, Judge Judy has three balls.
Her famous line, which I love, is, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
That's our motto here,
sir.
I logged a good hour with Judge Judy today, and she was yelling at this one lady.
She'd be a hard woman to satisfy in bed, I imagine.
Oh, absolutely. I remember when they asked her.
You would need food, drink, your craftsman tool set. You need a lot of stuff to get that going, I think.
Didn't they ask her about whether, you know, what would you do if somebody, somebody touched your car?
Death penalty. I'd give
Don't
them the
on
death
my
penalty.
Leg and tell me it's raining.
Mike, here are 10 things you didn't know about Judge Judy. What is this from, Rob?
It's from
the Sun of the Inquirer.
All right.
Are they any good or are they just boring?
Her
favorite saying is no bull, no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Judy loves to work out, snorkel, travel, ice skate.
That's when you see the barracudas like going in the other direction. Judge Judy's in the water.
Her favorite dinner is a baked potato with cottage cheese.
That's why she's so angry.
After she makes a ruling, the loser doesn't have to pay. The show covers any judgment up to $5,000. Oh, this is very boring. Courtroom is filled with extras, paid $5.75 an hour. She wrote in 1966 a book called Don't Pee on My Leg and Tell Me It's Raining.
Wow.
Huh.
Do you mean after they lose on that show, the show covers the expenses?
Yeah. After she makes a ruling, the loser does not have to pay. The show covers any judgment up to $5,000.
I think People's Court does that, too.
Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
People's Court blows.
Yeah.
And it's with Ed Koch.
It's the worst.
Getting beaten.
This is Ed Koch.
Bring Wapner back. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you need a shovel to do that?
Is he dead?
Come on. He has to be dead, right?
No.
Judge Wapner?
No, just retired.
He just got tired of doing the show. He got tired of Doug Llewellyn.
Yeah.
What else did you want? Hello?
Hello?
All right.
Thanks so much.
Hanging up on you now, Greg. Hello, Don and Mike.
Well, isn't it a pleasure to give you a holler there? I get big trouble with this dinner at six and sex at six. You've got to understand that the devil's triangle, and that's what I think he's looking for at 10 o'clock at night. You know, let's do it at 10.
There is a feeble old man on our telephone right now.
Interesting.
All of us men got to take what we can get from it. But those ladies use that double triangle to control the universe. And I think after he's talked to his wife and his wife's talked to him, you best realize that the devil's triangle rules the world. Got
All right. Thank you.
You got it?
Listen, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Well, it is raining. Believe me. 10-4-0, buddy. Have a good one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Alan King.
What the hell was that call about?
Just inside the Comedy Mind.
Some old feeble guy, right?
The devil's triangle. You have to understand. Works this way.
Oh, did you see Bobcat Goldthwait on Regis and Kathy tonight?
Yes, I did. And the tension between Bobcat and Kathy Lee was... They did a flashback where they showed him... Apparently, he shot a fire extinguisher up her butt the last time, and they banned him from the show.
Oh, was that after he had set Jay Leno's set on fire?
I think it was either before... I think it was right before he did the Leno thing. And they talked about that, but there was such tension. Kathy Lee obviously does not like Bobcat, which is, you know, one of the reasons we like Bobcat. And they were doing spit takes, and Bobcat was actually pretty funny, but Kathy Lee wanted to rise above it and didn't seem like she approved of Bobcat Goldthwait.
Well, he's coming on our show because he's got a new TV show that's out. I guess that's why he was on the Regis and Kathy show promoting that.
Bob's big-ass show, but I'm Regis and Kathy Lee. Could only say Bob's big show. And
wouldn't let him say ass?
He said, well, my show is called Bob's Big. And you see Regis's hand come over on his arm. Okay, Bob's Big Show.
That's sad. A neutered Bob Goldthwait.
He was very, he obviously had a talking to, but he couldn't suppress it. And at one point he was calling, he said something about Rooster Boy, because Kathy Lee was...
was Cody.
Yeah. And so he gave her a little bit of a dig. And then she was asking him about Leno, because he got in big trouble for setting Leno's set on fire. Mm-hmm. Had to do public service announcements. And at one point he said, that's 35 minutes out of my life that I'll never get back. Which I thought was a great line.
It was funny.
Because she was asking him very seriously, you know, what do you tell your children when you're on there setting the, you know, the stage on fire?
Oh, listen, Kathy Lee, what did you tell your children when Frank was boning that stewardess? You know, shut up, Kathy, see?
They didn't like each other. I really sensed that. It was not obvious. You kind of had to feel it, and I want to ask Bobcat when he's on the show if he really felt a lot of tension between Regis and Kathy Lee and himself.
Well, we'll have time to ask him about that, and we will also have time to ask him about this, a packet that was sent to us.
Yes.
And I guess to every other wingding radio station in America, because Bob has recorded some kind of personal liner for 36 radio stations.
Lovely.
And he's also sent along a script where the disc jockeys pretend that Bob Goldthwait is in the studio with them.
Oh, no.
And it's all on CD.
Oh, wonderful.
And I haven't even listened to it yet. It says...
I never thought he'd do that. What's wrong with him?
Dear Don and Mike, we will ask him all this stuff next
week. Yes, we will.
Dear Don and Mike, we developed this CD with Bobcat and the Wing Ding Dancers in order to create the appearance of Bobcat interacting with your DJs and callers. The thing to remember is your DJs will be playing off the pre-recorded lines, so you should be working on your lines between Bobcat's tracks.
Oh, God.
Use the Bobcat CD to create an interactive game show with calls from your listeners and Bobcat's recorded lines. So, we go on. It's got, like, the production outline.
Right.
How you set it up. An alternate version. Sample of on-air segment. And I think that the liner that he cut for us is not even for us. I think it's for WJFK, the station that we're on here. Let's give that a listen, please. Cut 33.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's big-ass show on FX. Keep listening to Bueno Arbusto, Don and Mike, to find out how you can win big-ass prizes.
This is Wing and Ding from Bobcat's big-ass show on FX. Keep listening to Don and Mike to find out how you can win big-ass prizes.
Wing and Ding.
Well, at least they mentioned our name.
Yeah. Rob's applauding.
Listen, we have a pass with that guy. I would think we'd get more than just that. Well, now let's hear some of the other things he said for other disc jockeys.
Okay.
All right, here's one for Boston.
All right.
This is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's big-ass show on FX. Keep listening to find out how you can win big-ass prizes on KBPI, your big-ass rock station.
This is Wing and Ding from Bobcat's big-ass show.
Oh, that's lame. God.
All right, how about for New York for Z100? If he says the same thing, if it's the same word they just edited in his voice saying the call letters.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's big-ass show on FX.
All right.
Keep listening to Z100, today's best music.
to find out how you...
So poorly done. Yeah.
Big ass prizes.
That's sad.
Keep listening, too, and then he stops.
Yeah. Bob Goldthwait has totally sold out with this. All right, how about Y100 in Miami?
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to The Morning Show with Footy and the Chicks at 6 on Y100.
What was that? Footy and the Chicks at 6?
Footy and the Chicks.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to The Morning Show with Footy and the Chicks at 6 on Y100 to find out how you...
Oh, has this man no scruples left?
Yeah.
All right, here is one for K-Rock in Los Angeles.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to Kevin and Bean to find out how you can win big ass prizes. Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to the world famous K-Rock to find out how you can win.
Let me just say, the Bobcat that we used to know,
he was a rebel, he was a hippie.
Back when he was popular?
Yep.
He would never do a tape like that.
Right.
We asked him to make a simple tape where he'd say, this is Bob Goldthwait, and I never listened to Don and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't even do that straight. Listen.
Hi, check 1, 2, 3, 4. Woo! Hi, this is Boston. Hello, this is Vic Tayback, and I never listen to Don and Mike. Who is your target audience that I have to tell them what channel they're already listening to?
See, that's the Bobcat Goldthwait we knew. Yeah.
I am hoping that when he comes into the studio, it is the old Bobcat that we get in here, and that all this, you know, he's simply doing to satisfy the people that are producing his show.
All right, here he is for DJs in Pittsburgh.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to Pittsburgh's Home of Rock and Roll, DVE, to find out how you...
That was a bad read, too. He doesn't even sell those call letters.
Well, you know he's hating it. He's hating every minute of it.
All right, now let's hear the one that he had to do for us again. 33. I bet he doesn't even remember that he used to be friends with us.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to Bueno Arbusto, Don and Mike, to find out how you can win...
It is sad.
That's weak.
Yeah.
That's very weak.
Oh, very frustrating.
All right, now let's see. Set up. All right. Cut number one.
Now the interview. We love
it. Now we're going to do the bit. This is where we're supposed to get someone from the telephone.
Okay.
Oh, and Mike, hold on a second. Here is a clarification on Hitler's nuts. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Bueno, Arbustos, gentlemen.
Hey, my friend.
I was just wanting to clarify, were they both born with one ball, or did they just take one out to look at it?
I don't know, sir. That comes from the Rocky Mountain News. It just says they both had one.
Huh. Well, I guess we'll have to keep on digging then.
Yeah, you keep on digging. Absolutely. Boy, won't that be fun.
All right, goodbye.
Thank you.
I thought that was a legitimate call about Hitler's Nazis.
No, that was just somebody who's still thinking about it, and how weird is that?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Mike, you were talking earlier about that cult classic, Freaks.
Yes.
I know where you can get it. I don't know if there's one of the stores in the chain near where you are, but there's a chain of stores called Hollywood Movies.
Yeah, okay, Hollywood Video?
Yeah.
All right.
And in the cult classic section, they have, like, Clockwork Orange and all these movies, and it's back there.
Okay, I'll be doing it on my way home tonight. I'll be in there. Hi, I'm looking for it. I'll say it from the back of the room, too.
Excuse me. Do you have Freaks?
Yeah, all the people behind the counter go, yeah. What do you want, Mom?
Hey, dude.
Hey, everybody, this is Wing.
And this is Ding of Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Together, we're going to find out some dirty little secrets about the people at this station when we play Bobcat's Big Ass Show, coming up, like, real soon.
You know what's sad about this is that somewhere there are disc jockeys out there who are really looking at this as a real tool.
Of course.
I mean, of course, you know, any disc jockey that uses this would be a tool, but he's looking at this like, oh, man.
20 minutes filled. We got 20 minutes filled up, man.
I didn't even have to do anything. Listen, they got all this stuff recorded. All right, now, here's Bobcat. I'm Diction.
Weird Addiction.
Here's Bobcat Goldthwait in the studio to tell you more.
Well, guys, I tell you, I cannot believe I have my own show, Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. And on that show, I ask people to do a lot of really weird stuff, like revealing dirty little secrets about themselves,
so they can win trips and prizes and delicious treats.
Mmm, Bob, that sounds crazy.
That's our line.
Mmm,
yeah. Bob, that sounds crazy.
Right now, we're like going to give your listeners a little taste of what the show is like. Only I get to hang out with the lovely Wing.
Hey there.
And Ding.
Hey, hey.
Well, you guys tell secrets about yourselves so the listeners can win great prizes.
All right, then here's where we interact, Mike. Oh, we're used to that, Bobcat. And do we ever have freaky little things going on here? Blah, blah, blah. All right, then.
And he sounds, I mean, usually they remember the one we had for Maury Povich? There was an effort made to make it sound conversational. There is no effort made. Maybe I hope that he maybe did that on purpose.
Sounds like the Evelyn Speedwood reading course.
Yeah, really. You know. Yeah.
Hello, I could not read.
I'm very excited about Bobcat's big ass show.
All right, we are used to that, Bobcat, and do we ever have freaky little things going on here? Blah, blah, blah. Bobcat, how do we play the game?
All right, then. Here's how we do it. You guys will reveal some dirty little secret about yourselves or one of the personalities at the station.
All right, Charles Broyhill's a fag.
Like someone who put undies on their head and danced the nut away at the station holiday party.
No, no, no. Charles Broyhill's a fag.
And the designated caller needs to guess who it is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Someone on our show is a fag.
If they get it right, they're finalists and they get a chance to see me while I tape an episode of Bobcat's Big Ass Show in fabulous Los Angeles.
Bob, that sounds great.
Okay, ready? Let's get this Big Ass Show on the road.
All right, and then we're supposed to take the call.
Hi, caller.
Wait, no, hold on. Let's do a break, and we'll come back, and we'll really take a caller. All right? To continue this fabulous bit of radio magic supplied to us by Bob Goldthwait.
So sad, I can't even comment on it.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The world's finest surfers showed up today to do battle with what's turned out to be the biggest waves to hit this coast since 1946. Hello, everybody. I'm Stu Nahan. I'd like you to meet this young man. His name, Jeff Spicoli. And, Jeff, congratulations to you. Things look kind of rough out there today.
Well, I'll tell you, Stu, I did battle some humongous waves. And, you know, just like I told the guy on ABC, danger is my business.
You know, a lot of people expect that maybe Mark Cutback Davis or Bob Jungle Death Girard will take the honors this year.
Oh, those guys are fine.
That's fantastic. Let me ask you a question. When you get out there, do you ever fear for your life?
Well, Stu, I'll tell you, surfing's not a sport. It's a way of life, no hobby. It's a way of looking at that wave and saying, hey, bud, good morning. Where'd you get this jacket?
Listen, Network, let me ask you a question. What's next for Jeff Spicoli?
Headed over to Australia and the Hawaiian Internationals. Me and Nick are going to wing on over to London and jam with the Stones. You guys are invited to
the Don and Mike Show. Geronimo and O'Mara on the Zoo.
You are a great crowd. Thank you so much. Hey, no, folks, it's not noted Elvis impersonator Michael Hoover. It's your old buddy Rob reminding you to listen especially carefully during the best of while Don and Mike are on vacation. Somewhere in the best of lies the answer to the trivia question Don and Mike will ask when they come back from vacation. Get the question right, win $1,000. Just like Jude Walker says, listen and win. Listen to the best of Don and Mike.
The guy that was online to answer Bobcat's stupid disc jockey question, he got disconnected, so we're going to have to take another call.
All right.
Let's try this line. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hello.
Hey, hey, baby.
Hey.
Hey.
I know the answer.
Oh, okay, good. Who is this?
This is Shelley.
Where are you from, Shelley?
I'm listening out of Greenville.
All right, thank you for listening on The Peak, WPEK-FM.
Yes.
All right, now, Mike, we've already supposedly brought Bob Goldthwait in the studio.
Good.
We've met Ring and Ding.
Yes, they were standing by, or Wing and Ding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. And
Ring and Ding would be the fat replacements that they have.
He can't believe that he has his own show.
Okay.
So we say, Bobcat, how do we play the game?
All right, then, here's how we do it. You guys will reveal some dirty little secret about yourselves or one of the personalities at the station. Like someone who put undies on their head and danced the nut away at the station holiday party.
This is so embarrassing. This is embarrassing for any disc jockey that would actually run this. This is embarrassing for Bob Goldthwait.
Very sad.
Who we thought a while ago, like 10 years ago, would never succumb to this level.
No, didn't think so. We're going to have to give him a hard time.
And the designated caller needs to guess who it is. If they get it right, they're finalists, and they get a chance to see me while I tape an episode of Bobcat's Big Ass Show in fabulous Los Angeles.
Oh, that sounds so good. Bob, let's get our caller right now. We got our caller 100 on the line.
Okay, ready?
Hi,
let's get this big ass show on the road.
All right, hold on. Now, DJ takes call.
Takes call. Hi, who is this?
Hi, this is Shelley.
Listeners call and try to guess which secret is true of the personality featured by, oh, by example. Okay, caller.
Yes.
Which one of our DJs did this on a recent trip to Chicago? Got a body piercing, pulled a dine and dash, and received an avocado facial. Was it insert station personality here? The U-Man, Pork Chop, or Chrissy in the Morning? All right, now I understand.
It's the and I you know it's just as well done as the instructions are easy to understand.
That was a test, a sample question,
exactly. Right?
Okay,
for sample the disc jockey. So now that I have the concept, let's see. Okay, caller.
Yes.
Which guy on our show is a fag?
That would be Charles Broyhill.
This.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner in L.A. Big L.A. when we tape the show on a wingeting day.
Duh. See how easy that was? Way to go.
Oh, my
you
God.
You not only get this great bag of FX stuff, but you're off to an official finalist for the trip to see my show.
Charles Broyhill's a fag.
Keep listening for your chance to
and
play
is
it again.
The only one?
What was that?
Is he the only one?
All right, no, I'm surrounded by fags.
I worry about some of Buzz's callers.
Here's what would have happened if you didn't get it right.
Okay.
Okay, like if you had said Canon Grace.
Okay.
I would have said, Bob?
Oh, we have a big-ass loser already.
It was nice of you to play. It could have been a blast.
Oh, my.
Now you're just a loser with a big old ass.
Now, here are your choices. You can either tell us a dirty little secret about yourself, and if the guys here at the station like it, you get a really cool FX podcast big-ass show goodie bag.
Oh, my God.
This thing is growing hair.
God, this is sad. I've never heard anything.
Worst.
I've never heard anything more crapped up in my life.
Or you can just go home a big-ass loser.
Kind of like you, Bob.
Oh, man.
Well, all right. You've won whatever it is that Bob said you won.
She qualifies to go to the show.
All right. Now, let me see. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Wait. There's more. Correct answer. Incorrect answer. And then here's... All right. Then here's when we're done with the bit.
Yeah.
We say, okay, we had a great time playing with our caller.
That was a great bit, Bobcat.
It was fun.
We want to thank Bobcat for coming in. Hey, Bobcat, we'll see you later, man.
Wow. You people got some problems. That's a lot weirder, dirty little secrets than I imagined you'd have. You know what? I think you all are big-ass show material. So watch us on FX starting June 1st.
Oh.
And, maybe I'll see you on the show as a contestant.
Ciao.
See ya.
See you later.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Bobcat's big-ass train wreck. That's what this is. Right, here's an alternate version, Mike.
Okay
an alternate version.
Is this a tamer version?
There's less cuts. So maybe this is if you're in a bit of a hurry,
right.
You got to play some more records or something.
This is Bobcat Goldthwait, star of my very own show on FX, Bobcat's Big Ass Show.
Yes.
I'd love to tell you more about it, but right now, I need you to listen to this announcer very carefully.
HB.
You could be the lucky caller that wins some big ass bag filled with prizes from FX and the chance to win a trip to see moi at my show in Los Angeles.
When he comes on the show next week, I swear to God, all we're going to do is play these tapes for him. And say, what were you doing? All right, then, here you go. Here's the correct answer. All right, who's your fag on our show? Who's your big fag?
Charles Broyhill.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Ooh!
Big L.A. Take the show on a
Wednesday. Ooh, baby.
Yeah. See how easy that was?
With my
big-ass
bag of prizes.
You get this great bag of FX stuff, but you're off to an official finalist for the trip to see me.
All right.
That is so, so very irritating.
I can't wait for Bobcat's big-ass cancellation. And here he is now again saying hello to us.
Okay.
In his generic greeting.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's big-ass show on FX. Keep listening to Bueno Arbusto, Don and Mike, to find out how you can...
There it is.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Muchas gracias, Bobcat.
That's awful.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to the Bay Area's Party Station to find out how you can win.
That's the funniest, is hearing him do all the other slugs for the stations. All right, here he is again.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to Charlotte's New Rock Alternative, 106.5. The end, to find out how you...
He reads like he needs glasses or something.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX.
Yes.
Keep listening to the Shred Reagan Morning Show to find out how you can win big...
Shred and Reagan.
I never heard of them before.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX.
On FX.
Keep listening to Craig the Dog Faced Boy and Pork Chop to find out how.
Wait. Who was that?
Craig the Dog Faced Boy
and Pork Chop.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to Craig the Dog Faced Boy and Pork Chop to find out.
Is it any wonder that we are ashamed to be disc jockeys?
Absolutely.
All right, let me hear, how about Minneapolis?
We're out of Minneapolis. Not our station, though.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to Afternoons with Chopper Harrison to find out how you...
Chopper... Dog Face Boy Pork Chop.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to Zeta's 530 Funnies with Steve Stansel to find out how.
That's the one he really didn't want to read. Let's hear that one again.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to Zeta's 530 Funnies with Steve Stansel to find out.
God. Yeah. Oh, he had to do 35 of these.
He had to hate everything.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to 107.5 The Buzz, Houston's Rock Alternative, to find out how.
Oh, my God. Just in the studio all day.
Hello, this is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to the home of rock and roll in Detroit. 101 WRIF to find out.
He had to hate doing these more than he hated doing those PSAs for when he set the Jay Leno set on fire.
This is Bobcat Goldthwait from Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Keep listening to find out how you can win big ass prizes on KBPI, your big ass rock station.
All right, and then there's an extra track at the end. This is, it says Wild Line Giggles from the Wing Ding Dancers. Great for your morning show.
Fantastic.
This was some Wild Line Giggles.
Oh, God damn it. Thank you for that bonus.
Awful.
So generous.
That is awful.
He's so generous to include that on these series.
Watch Bobcat's Big Ass Show on FX. Starting June
1st. Oh, God, that's just a generic commercial for his show. Mm-hmm. All right, well...
When's he coming in?
I think he's supposed to be here next Wednesday.
Yeah, supposedly now.
Okay.
He's booked for
next Wednesday.
He's booked. Hopefully he'll be here.
And, Shelley, you've won the T-shirt for the Succo show.
Yay!
And thank you for listening.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Hold on a second.
Shelley got the joke. That's good.
She's great. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Buddy.
I just had to say that this is probably the most annoyingly funny segment you guys have done. And don't you just pity the poor guys that have to actually do this?
And there'll be many of them. There'll be many of them across the country that'll be doing that.
And those are all big markets that those jive asses are going to be. Hey, listen, this morning here on the Dog Face Boy show.
And it's one thing, really, and I like Bobcat, I really do, but I got to slam him here.
Mm-hmm.
If he's reading it, even in a conversational style, at least it can be passable, but it's going to be, no,
this is going to be my big ass show on FX. You know, it's like, please.
Vision to Dog Boy and Pork Chop, baby. And don't forget, Foodie and the Chicks and Chicks. And Sham Somebody with the 530 Funnies.
I mean, I almost want to go to one of these other cities just to hear them do this.
Oh, I would I'd love to get a tape of some disc jockey doing that straight.
We got Bobcat Goldthwait here. He's going to be chatting with us for a while.
He's going to be playing a game with our caller today.
Very exciting. Yeah, yes, Bobcat. Good to have you in the studio.
You guys let the slam Bobcat when he comes in.
Oh, we will. And listen, I just want to say, Ring and Ding, or I'm sorry, Wing and Ding.
Yes. Wing and Ding.
You girls are crazy. I would bone both of you. That's right, baby.
Yeah.
That makes you laugh, huh?
They like that. Seriously, they are really hot, Bobcat. They are super hotties.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey, look at that. They're taking the tops off now.
Woo! Crazy, baby.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Who the Watushi now?
That's great. What did Porkchop think of him? Did he like the dog face boy? God.
Foodie and the Chicks. At Chicks. On Y100.
This is the business we're in.
Oh, God.
It's embarrassing.
Oh, yes, it is.
I'm going to go hide my head in my trash can.
All right, goodbye. Come on, get off the phone. We'll be right back.
Do we need a game? Same game, same game, same game. Good time. Be nice. And I hope the next person has a pleasure of being here to give us the answer they're going to learn. And let me leave you swinging.